space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, blast off!
I got a laptop. I make music with my friends. I've got a laptop, baby. I make music with my friends.
He's got a laptop.
There it is.
He's got a laptop.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
So, why mad science exists? I'm going to get into that today and give a little bit of an example of why mad science actually exists. But before I introduce the show, I want to step on here and address a comment on my latest video, doggone it, Neodymium Magnet Accelerator 3. It's a sneak peek at project that you need to keep an eye on if you're interested in alternative energy. But either way, I got a comment from somebody called Lego Building Review. About 11 hours ago, I got a comment. And to put this comment in context, every one of my videos out there basically have Mad Science, the search for free energy, and the, you know, the big old flashy intro and all that kind of stuff right there. Well, the comment said simply, "Stop searching, physics forbids it." And so I decided I'm going to reply to this one here. I said, it is not physics that forbids it, more like the lousy education system and the science community that sold out humanity that forbid it. Not to mention those who wish to charge a price for what nature had provided. Greed and indoctrination have made it so even those trapped in the system fight very hard to protect the same system that keeps them dumbed down while people suffer in this world, and there is a need. I will keep searching, but not for what you think, because that has already been found. Now it is how to give to the world something I'm not sure that they really want. It has become so much easier to follow than to lead, and from where I stand, I see people that are so distracted to even care, or too distracted to even care. It is not forbidden to excel in life and physics. It is forbidden to excel by people. Hey, let me reread. It is not forbidden to excel in life by physics. It is forbidden to excel by people. And that, my friend, is why the world is in the shape that it's in. So essentially, it isn't physics that stops us from getting free energy. It's people, flat out. It's either greed of companies and corporations, or it's just that people have been so incredibly indoctrinated their entire lives via the education system, which by far is the worst on the planet. If you're living in the United States, it's probably where most indoctrinated and the least educated people are in the world. The bogus science that they teach in school over here is just flat out ridiculous, and I've got evidence of that. But nonetheless, you're listening to Mad Science at www.shazizradio.com. And if you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html as well. If you scroll down underneath all the four chat rooms that's on that page, you can click on the People for People radio link. Go over there and say hi to Charles Two Dog, Crazy Fox, Lisa, I can't even pronounce that. Looks like all caps. Neutrons, protons, and electrons. It looks like I'm in there too. Wow. We'll see who else shows up. If you're over on the Shaziz Radio side, Tamaj is in there, and Anon 8044, and who knows who else is in there right now. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Peace and love to everybody who's listening in. That's cool. And so with that said, let's see, where are we going here? All right, so look, I spent a lifetime studying science. Way back when I was a kid, I mean, I love science. I love to know how things work. And the only way to find out how things work is to either, you know, take it apart and put it back together and see how it functions. You know, I'm talking about like electronics and everything. You can't take everything apart, obviously, but you can study. Nature's a good teacher, and it'll teach you how things work. But either way, I used to like taking things apart and putting them back together to see how they work. And I paid attention in school, and you know, that's back when I used to do real science experiments and testing and retesting and come up with ideas and theories on how things work, and you actually discussed it, and, you know, it was an interactive kind of thing. Modern day science isn't nothing like that. The modern day scientist is the peer review papers. It makes me laugh every time I hear somebody, "Oh, is your work peer reviewed?" Yeah, right. There ain't no peers out there. There ain't no real scientists left as far as I'm concerned. I ain't seen them. If they are out there, they're hiding in the bushes somewhere, or they're keeping their mouth shut because they want to get funding from the government, or they want to keep their job or their professorship. Science is like, it doesn't exist anymore. Real science doesn't exist. So, therefore, mad science had to step in there and try to put things back into perspective of where they should be. You know, we should be so much further advanced right now than we are. Here we are in the year 2019, and we understand that we hear that there's people in this world that can't even get a fresh glass of water to drink, which is really aggravating to me. Nonetheless, if you're standing next to the ocean and you're dying of thirst and you didn't pay attention in science class, and you definitely haven't heard a mad science show. And then moving right along, they tell us that there's people in this world that are starving. Alright, well, let's feed them. We got more than enough resources to do so. Let's feed them. They tell me that there's people in this world that are homeless. Alright, well, let's give them a house. Let's build them a house. I just don't understand how in the year 2019 we can amass great massive armies and go around and create all kinds of destruction, but in the process of gathering that army up, you got to gather a lot of supplies up because you got to feed that army. You got to feed the machines. You got to fuel up the airplanes and fuel up the ships and the tanks and everything that you're going to be driving around. You got to fuel it all up. And there they are hollering how there's a doggone energy crisis or climate change or global warming or climate disruption or whatever it's going to be next week when the math doesn't add up. So, mad science has its place. And got to figure out how to, if the world has all these problems, how to get the world to actually want to resolve all these problems. Now, some folks out there think they got the doggone thing sorted out, but we'll get into that as well. But either way, we're told we got all these issues. We're told that someday we're going to run out of crude oil, or what they call dinosaur fuel or fossil fuel, which is a big hockahooey. It's one of the biggest hockahooeys in the histories of hockahooeys. It's a lie. Climate change is a lie. You know, now, see, there's where they get you right there, that whole climate change. Climate change is naturally all the time. And they'd call me a climate change denier. Now, I don't deny that the climate changes. I mean, one day it's cold, next day it's hot. Probably one of the things that probably helped that climate to not be changing so drastically is stop tampering around with nature. You know, you start messing around with nature, you got some physics to explain. You know, heat rises, cold air falls, we get all that. We know how we can quite literally create tornadoes and hurricanes and, you know, just by putting a lot of heat in one place or whatever. Nonetheless, there's other factors at play in here. There is pollution in the world. Yeah, mankind has thrown trash everywhere. You know, it's ridiculous. But nonetheless, doesn't mean that we don't have solutions. We got tons and tons and tons and tons of solutions. We got more solutions than we got people with common sense to want to resolve the so-called issues of the world. And no, there ain't no Three Stooges science, Tomas. TJ, I can't even pronounce it. I ain't going to try. I'll just call you T for short. Yeah. No, real science. Real science. That's what we're talking about here. Mad science. You know, mad science came about when they started lying to the people and started stealing from the people via so-called carbon taxes and telling the kids that the earth was going to be dying in 12 years. Got all these kids that think the science guys are on the up and up, and there you go. They're all lying to them, and now these kids are all scared they're going to have a world that's going to be trash. Now, granted, if we keep on the path that we're on, yeah, it's going to be trashy. You're going to be living in a dump. But if you're smart, then you'll learn how to turn that dump into a resource. You know, it's just, look, it don't have to get down like that. It doesn't have to go that direction. And we don't have to keep on destroying everything. We don't have to keep on depleting the planet of resources that, you know, are readily available. We don't need to do all that. But, you know, governments, corporations, greedy people, and even the worst people of the planet that are the indoctrinated, Those who would fight really hard to support the same system that keeps them suppressed are the danger that we are facing. It's not climate change, or global warming, or global climate disruption. It's not even the terrorists behind every bush. It's not even the government. See, the people are our biggest enemy. We, the people, are our greatest enemy. We're our greatest danger. We're the ones who allows all the ridiculousness. Now, you got people out there that try really hard to try to bring information to the table. And they're constantly under attack. Constantly. Alright? And then you got people out there that so-called claim to want to fix the planet, yet they do the same doggone ridiculousness over and over. You think going out there with a sign and protesting the government or the companies is going to get anything done? Basically, what you're saying is you're too lazy to do it yourself. You don't want to do it. You want it done, but you don't want to do it yourself. You don't want to take, you don't mind giving the government tax money, but you don't want to give the researcher out there your support. You don't want to pass information over to your friends and say, look, climate change might not be what we think, but there's people out here that say, if it does exist, we've already got a resolution and we can solve it. Not with these ridiculous plans of taking away technology and making everybody live in a mud hut and all the craziness that goes on. But with some common sense and some real science. The commenter that said physics forbids free energy has obviously not paid attention in science class and has obviously not paid attention to physics. Physics doesn't forbid free energy. We're floating in a sea of free energy. I tell you what forbids free energy. It's the terminology. It's terminology like zero point, over unity, perpetual motion. To kind of muddy up the water with what is the truth about free energy. Now, if you look outside and the wind's blowing, look around for who's pushing that wind around. Alright? And tell me how many years, or decades, or according to science, billions of years has there been wind blowing on this planet? Earth, flat plane, or whatever it is you think it is. Doesn't matter. And when you look outside and you see the sun shine and you go out there and stand in it too long and you get a big old blister on your nose because it's hotter than all get out there, tell me, how long has that sun been doing what it's doing? How long has the earth been shaking and quaking, and how long has there been volcanic events, and how long has the ocean been sloshing around? Now there's a lot of physics involved in everything that I just mentioned. A lot of physics. A lot of power. If a power of nature has the power to quite literally destroy your house, that's a lot of power. Now why can't we learn from that? But see, there's no such thing as free energy is what we're told. There's no such thing as over unity and zero point and whatever. It's the terminology. The laws of thermodynamics that somebody, you know, read in a book, and then they come out there and they start getting all cocky-eyed with you and start telling you, well, these laws of thermodynamics said you can't do that. Really? Why do the laws of thermodynamics tell you that you can't do that? Because from what I understand, there are certain things that the laws of thermodynamics will show you that are usually general rules when it comes down to science, but they're not necessarily written in stone as you quoted them. We know that water is the most stable molecule on the planet. We know this because we've tested it. It's amazing what water can do. You can smash it, crash it, bash it, boil it, and burn it, and whatever, and put it right back into a water molecule again. Because we know physics, we know thermodynamics, we know that whenever you turn something into steam, when you boil that water into steam and it gets cold, well then somehow or another it seems to want to recombine back into water again. We know that we can pollute water. We know we can clean it up. We know a lot of things about doggone, Tomash says it's not free, but it is cheap. It's free. It's flat out free. There's no ifs, ands, or buts, and I will argue till I am blue in the face. that energy is free. Now, I'm not going to sit here and mince terminology because it's just ridiculous. The terminology that's out there in the science community and the way that the average Joe, the people come out there like the little nice little sheeple that they want to be, and they want to conform. They want to sound intelligent, so they'll start quoting the laws of thermodynamics. Not even really understanding what's actually going on. But they'll quote them nonetheless. Misquote them. But either way, if you understand water, you understand that if you boil water, the molecules in there start to move around rapidly, and under certain conditions, you can quite literally separate the hydrogen and oxygen. What science has told us since we've did all these experiments is hydrogen is a really amazing gas. You know, not only is it really light, and you can actually fly around in what they used to call like a blimp or a zeppelin, you know, an aircraft, whatever. You can fill it up with that gas, and since it's lighter than the gas around it, that it will actually fly. But there was a story about a Hindenburg that didn't go over so well, caught fire or whatever, you know. Nonetheless, helium will do the same thing, but it's not nearly as dangerous, you know. And so, with that said, when you got hydrogen on one side, you got oxygen on the other side, science says that it takes three things to start a fire. You need a fuel source, you need an ignition source, and you need oxygen. Combine the three and you got a fire. Well, hydrogen is an implosive gas, oxygen is an explosive gas, and when you separate the two, they like to release an electrical charge. Even when they recombine, they like to release some energy, an electrical charge. You've got all three in one go right there in water. But then you'll get these folks out there to say, well, electrolysis is not a very good way to, it takes too much power to separate the water molecule. That's because you're doing it wrong, stupid. Try it the right way. Electrolysis is, basically the hard way. You have to use a lot of power to do it, but there's other ways. Yeah, you got to understand the physics. You got to understand the same thermodynamics that you're quoting. But nonetheless, if you can separate the hydrogen and oxygen molecule, now you have two separate fuels. Alright? You got the fuels, you got the ignition source, and it's the perfect fuel. But we don't use that technology. Even though in the 70s, Stan Meyer's running around in a dune buggy using said technology. Even though there's a government document out there that says that by, 2018 or something like that, that the Navy was going to start using hydrogen technology on their ships. Doesn't matter. You know, even though there are vehicles out there that run on hydrogen technology, doesn't matter. It's not mainstream. Costs too much. But the ridiculousness of the whole entire thing is that you got people out there claiming to want to do something, but nobody ever really does anything. Now see, I'm a mad science YouTube channel. I try to show things in a creative way so that science can actually, catch a spark and revive, you know. Science is basically on the table, and we're having to try to do CPR to get the doggone science back to breathing again. There ain't no real scientists in this world anymore. There's sellouts. There's people that basically want to keep their funding, and so they will either skew some paperwork, and peer-reviewed is just about who you know, where you know it, whether or not they're going to sign on. Hey, I'm the science guy. I got the white coat, so I can sign your paper and say, I've reviewed your work, and, I agree. Well, you have consensus. There ain't no consensus in the science community. There's only corruption. Just like the doggone government. Just like the education system. Just like the businesses of the world. There's corruption. Now, if there really is a problem, then why aren't we fixing it? I tell you why we ain't fixing it. Because it's more profitable to not fix it. It's more profitable to use what they call fossil fuels. And fossil fuels, don't even get me started. There ain't no such thing as fossil fuels, and if you believe that, you've been indoctrinated really good. So, the Earth is a carbon-based life form. There's carbon everywhere. We have a symbiotic relationship with plants. We give them food and they give us fresh oxygen. So we help each other out. And so when you're out there trashing the planet, you're actually trashing your breathing apparatus. You're trashing your fish bowl, so to speak. You know, if you put a goldfish in a bowl and you feed it, and you never try to keep that water clean inside that bowl, eventually that doggone water will become so acidic that it will quite literally burn the gills of the fish and it can't breathe anymore. And it'll go belly up. And then you'll give it the hats off salute next to the commode as you flush the handle and send them to their great reward in the goldfish heaven, wherever in the great beyond. Nonetheless, we got a lot of ridiculousness going on, and that's why mad science needs to be here. Mad science is the only hope for humanity. If we're ever going to get anything resolved, I mean really get it resolved, first we got to get through the doggone people's indoctrination. That's the hard part. The people are their own worst enemy. It's you that calls the lawman on your neighbor. It isn't the neighbor, it might be the neighbor calling the lawman on you. You all just calling the lawman on each other instead of trying to help each other out. And when it comes down to if the environment's in the shape and nobody's willing to roll up their sleeves and get down in there and get a little dirty and clean some stuff up, then, you know, you get what you got. That's it. Until nature's able to clean it up, that's what you got. But all the money wasted in this world on war, all the money wasted on ridiculousness, all the money wasted on these so-called congressmen and senators and parliament individuals or whatever. If you're one of the highly educated, you consider yourself highly educated, and you're going out there trying to discourage people like myself from looking into things, to testing things, to basically stepping outside the box of what science says is and is not possible, then you might as well just go over and stand in line with the congressmen and the protesters, because you're doing just as much disservice to humanity as anyone else out there. You think you're really highly educated, but what you really are is highly indoctrinated. And you are destroying the chance for humanity to actually excel, to boldly go where no man has gone before, to see how far that we can actually take everything that we've learned. You're part of the problem. So go stand over there with the senators. Go stand over there with the congressmen and the parliament and the protesters, because you're not helping to get no work done. See, when you have a solution, until you put that solution in action, then nothing gets done. An idea is just an idea, and when that idea goes up on the shelf, it's now suppressed. It's not going to make it any further than that shelf. It's a nifty little project on the shelf. I'm not having it. If it can't get into the hands of the people, and even if you want to put it in the hands of the people, if the people aren't going to take that idea and their brilliance and their talents and expand on it and move it even further, then it ain't going nowhere. When you got children out there who believe that in 12 years the planet is doomed if we don't do something drastic about it. When you got adults out there that run around panic-stricken talking about global warming, climate change, climate disruption, we got to take your cars, we got to take and pay and charge you taxes, we got to do this, we got to do that, all on your dime. You know, a fool and his money is soon parted, is what they say. And so, if you want to get things done, then the best person to do it is you. So, I reached out trying to grab hold of all the brilliant minds out there in the world and try to bring them to the table. I call them the dream team. I call it those folks that have the talents and the skills and the potential to be able to create and design and make things happen, to come to the table. With all the craziness and the criticism and the trolls and government propaganda and all the crazy indoctrination of the education system, that has been a major hindrance. It hasn't helped. It ain't done nothing but try to discourage somebody who really believes we have an opportunity to fix the world into thinking, well, maybe it's just not even worth the effort because it's not going anywhere. Now, I'm going to play a couple little podcasts because I need you to hear what the average person is talking about. But we're going to start off with this one right here first.
As a young person, I have come to know a world where climate change is not just a theory to accept or deny, but it is a global threat that we are already seeing the effects of.
It's called the Green New Deal, a platform pushed by some Democrats designed to tackle climate change while stimulating the economy. So, what exactly is it? The term Green New Deal, a throwback to President Franklin D. Roosevelt's New Deal reforms and infrastructure programs, has been around for years. One of the earliest mentions was in 2007, in a column by the New York Times' Thomas Friedman. By 2008, the concept continued to evolve when then-Green Jobs czar Van Jones used the phrase to describe a plan to increase medium-skilled jobs in green sectors. The latest iteration, the one being championed most notably by Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, is the one making waves.
Because we don't have a choice. We do not have a choice. We have to get to 100% renewable energy in 10 years. There is no other option.
Some of its aims include transitioning the country away from fossil fuels, decreasing the use of carbon in agriculture, transportation, and infrastructure, and aiming to make the economy carbon-free within 10 years. It also seeks to tackle income inequality through a federal jobs guarantee program that assures a, quote, living wage. Many other high-profile progressives, from freshman lawmakers like Rashida Tlaib and Pramila Jayapal to more established figures like John Lewis, have shown support. And activists like the Sunrise Movement and Justice Democrats have staged protests and sit-ins on Capitol Hill. Despite support for the creation of a select committee in Congress, Senate Republicans have openly criticized the effort, calling the measure expensive and, quote, impossible to afford. And despite having the majority in the House, Democrats have also pushed for climate-based reforms before, like in 2010, and lost.
Yeah, they lost because it's ridiculous. And you're going to go lobby the Congress, and you're going to lobby the Senate to try to clean up the planet? Look, you people out there, you outnumber the elite of the world, if not a thousand, maybe possibly even a million to one. So, why are you even wasting your time with the governments of this world? Why are you even standing there wasting your time protesting? If you're standing there with a wooden stick and a paper sign that says save the trees, you're ridiculous. And you're wasting your time. You make yourself look foolish, and the congressmen and the senators, they don't care that you're doing that. They don't care. You're going to just basically stand there too long, and they're going to send the same policeman that you pay for to come and get you and to drag you out of there while you're hollering, I want my rights. You ain't got no rights. None. Not one. Not one single right. Because you keep throwing them away. You keep giving the power over to the government. That's why. That's why the Green New Deal isn't it ain't never gonna work. They get paid. They get the congressman. You wait till you hear this next one. I'm just gonna go ahead and play this one. You wait till you hear. I've been in this business for 40 some odd years, a decade or something like that. And what have they accomplished? Zero. Zilch. Nada. Nothing. Absolutely nothing at all.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hello. Oh, tell me where you're from.
We're from all over the Bay.
All over
the Bay.
All right, and tell me what you're doing here.
We are trying to ask you to vote yes on the Green New Deal.
Okay, I'll tell you what. We have our own Green New Deal piece of legislation. Why don't you call back, see if they can fax one out? make a copy for each person.
Well, we're trying to promote the Green New Deal.
Well, there are reasons why I can't, because there's no way to pay for it.
Yes, there is.
Well, that's we have tons of money going to the military. Half of a lot of it is going to military.
Well, I understand that. The United States government does a lot of things with the money, and they're important things. And you just can't go in and say, okay, we're going to take hundreds of millions from here and hundreds of millions from there. It just doesn't work that way.
But of course our
but you can have I don't agree with what that resolution says. That's part of it. And we have done our can you get a copy of the resolution?
Yeah,
Senator,
coming.
We
yeah.
need a coming. Plan that
and
that.
Let me just finish. I will give you a copy of what we do support. And you can take a look at it, and if you've got a problem with it, you can let me know. But I think it has a much better chance of passing than what this is, because there is no way to pay for what it gets done, so nothing will happen. So you be the judge. You take a look at it. We're going
to
get
you
a copy.
But we have come to a point where our Earth is dying, literally, and it is going to be a pricey and ambitious plan that is needed to deal with the magnitude of that issue. And so we're here asking you to vote yes on the resolution for the Green New Deal, because that is the only
that plan resolution that will not pass the Senate. And you can take that back to whoever sent you here.
Why do you
tell them? Because it doesn't have a single Republican vote. And the Republicans control the United States Senate. So we are a minority on the Democratic side. So the key to good legislation is to tailor something that you write so that it can pass and you can get a step ahead. I've been doing this. I've been in the Senate for over a quarter of a century.
See that? A quarter of a century. A quarter of a century. Think about that. That's what she just said. She's been in there for a quarter of a century. Ridiculous, man.
Pass, and I know what can't pass. And the key is to get something passed that puts us on the right foot and we're able to deal with the problem that's happening instead of something that won't get passed.
But why does that stop you from voting yes? Because even if they vote, you can still vote yes and it won't pass and we can draft a new plan.
Well, I may do that. We'll see. Yeah. I don't know.
Please vote
yes. It's not a good resolution.
Can we?
You know,
that's what we need right now.
Some scientists have said that we have 12 years to turn this around.
Well, it's not going to get turned around in 10 years. What we can do.
Senator, if this doesn't get turned around in 10 years, you're looking at the faces of the people who are going to be living with these consequences.
The government is.
All right, somebody tell me. Somebody tell me who in the heck is the science guy or gal that come out there and said that this world was doomed in 12 years. Show me the real scientist. Alright, let's get this real scientist on the Mad Science Show. Bring them here. Let's have a debate. Tell them, I want to know why it is that they say that we're going to be doomed in 12 years. That's what they're telling the kids. That's what they're telling the kids, folks. These kids think that their future's screwed. And there ain't nothing that they can do about it unless they can get these congressmen and women and senators to vote for this so-called Green New Deal. Here's a Green New Deal. Why don't you all just start doing something instead of nothing? You know, sharing information with each other and actually building things. There are a lot of individuals out here that are trying to do something positive. But they don't get the support. They don't get no support nowhere near like this system is supported. You'll support a senator or congressman by wasting your time to send children and adults that should know better up to a doggone congress lady that is not going to do anything. Nothing. They're not going to do anything. They're going to vote a new law in that's going to charge you more money. That's it. That's all. Your electric bill's going to go up. Just like Obama said, under my plan, you can buy a coal plant, it's going to go bankrupt or whatever the The electric bills are necessarily going to skyrocket. Whatever. You know what he said. Doesn't matter. He's talking about jacking your light bill up so you can reduce your carbon footprint. It's all a scam, man. That's why mad science is around. Because of this kind of stuff right here, what you hear going on with these kids right here. They think the world's coming to an end. Oh, in 10 years, you're looking at the faces of the people that's going to suffer. Well, they're suffering right now. First, they're being dumbed down. Then they're being told that they're going to have to, their planet's going to die. Instead of getting your act together and getting things accomplished, you don't need the government to do this stuff. And if you can't find free energy, you didn't pay attention in science class, and you obviously aren't paying attention to mad science. That's a fact. You're not looking hard enough. But nonetheless, you know, let's keep going here, because it has to be said. It just has to be said. This is pure ridiculousness. This is indoctrination at its finest. This is the future of the world that you're listening to right now, that are basically being told lies. And they're trying to tell it to somebody who doesn't care, who probably already knows it's a lie. She wants to put money in her pocket. Congressmen and senators and all these people in government, they want money in their pocket. Corporations want to sell you fuel. They want to sell you crude oil. They want to sell you what they classify as fossil fuel. That's what they want to sell you. They want to sell you electricity. Now, if you paid attention in science class and physics and stuff like that, then you could understand how things function, and you could begin to use your creativity to quite literally build the future.
It's to be for the people and by the people and all.
You know what's interesting about this group is I've been doing this for 30 years. I know what I'm doing. You come in here and you say it has to be my way or the highway. I don't respond to that. I've gotten elected. I just ran. I was elected by almost a million vote plurality. And I know what I'm doing. So, you know, maybe people should listen a little bit. And this is what... Can we staple the pages together?
I hear what you're saying, but we're the people who voted you. You're supposed to listen to us. That's your job.
How old are you?
I'm 16.
You
I can't
vote. Well, you
vote.
Didn't vote for me.
Well,
she voted. It doesn't matter. We're the ones getting impacted.
Mean something.
It doesn't matter. We're going to be the ones who are impacted.
You I understand that. I have seven grandchildren. I understand it very well.
Senator, the cost of not taking this action is far higher than the cost of what the Green New Deal will be. And
here's
there is enormous popularity for this bill around the whole country.
Here's
and we're asking you to be brave
proposing.
And do this for us and for your grandchildren.
Get enough for everybody. Here's what I do propose. And here is the resolution that I think has a chance to pass. So we'll give each of you a copy. You can take a look at it. It states the case, I think, very well. And it means something.
How
this resolution.
How between that and the resolution currently that we're speaking about.
Can you speak on it now, please?
Just if you could give us your elevator speech on the difference between this and the resolution.
Well, this is precisely drafted. You can read it, and you can draw your own conclusions. And we believe it's workable. It's written by people that have spent their life working on this, that really believe that you can get something done.
What about people
not,
who impacted
so
the most?
So I'll give it to you, and you can take a look at
Thank
it.
Senator, we know that no plan is going to pass right now while the Republicans control the Senate. This is a long game. We need to be doing this to unite the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've noticed, but voters...
Now, see, there's another bit of propaganda going on in this deal. This lady's thinking, well, we got to vote Democrats in so we can get this doggone deal passed and we can save the planet. Folks, this ain't got nothing to do with Republicans or Democrats. None of it. It's all a dog and pony show. It's a game. It's a game that's got a valuable cost, a very extremely valuable cost. This game that's being played, the propagandizing of our children, the lying and the bogus science that goes into getting this, like that lady to say what she just said. Then we got to get the Democrats voted in. This ain't the Republicans stopping it. This ain't the Democrats not being able to do what it is that they're doing. It's we, the people, that are allowing our education system to fail to the extent that these people say the kind of things that they're saying. Is it? These kids think the planet's going to be dead in 12 years. And there are grown adults that go out there and fear-monger all the people out here, all the children out here. Oh, we're all going to die. We're doomed. We're doomed. We're doomed. We're doomed. I'm sick of it. You know, when you say that there's a problem, and somebody comes to the table, and they start addressing that problem, and they show you potential solutions, and then you mock and ridicule, and then troll that same person that's trying to do something right. I get trolled all the time. If I try to do a radio show, I got people in there that are just there to do nothing more than to distract me away from the message that I'm trying to get out there to the world. When I do my YouTube channel, I have at least two individuals that are full-time thumbs down. They thumb my video down no matter what's in the video, whether they read it or even watch it enough. No matter what, they always thumb my video down. Now, that might not be a big deal to you. And it might not, might not even be a big deal to me. But it's frustrating because the same people who will sit around and piss and moan about the government being out of control, about all the different terminologies and trying to make themselves sound smarter than the average Joe, and they have the answers, they're not doing anything positive to fix this world. All they're doing is trying to discourage somebody who's sitting here saying that physics does not forbid free energy. Alright? It's not physics that forbids it. It's more like the lousy education system and the science community that sold out humanity that forbid it. Not to mention those who wish to charge a price for what nature had already provided. Greed and indoctrination have made it so those trapped in the system fight very hard to protect the same system that keeps them dumbed down. While people in this world suffer and there is a need, I will keep searching, but not for what you think, because that has already been found. Free energy has already been found. Now it's to try to find out how to give to the world something I'm not sure that they really want. It has become so much easier to follow than to lead, and from where I stand, I see people that are too distracted to even care. It is not forbidden to excel in life by physics. It is forbidden to excel by people. People are forbidding each other to excel. They want you in the box with them. They want you in the maze. You're the mouse that's standing on top of the box saying, "Hey, why are y'all still in the box? We can go over here and do something and get out of this mess." It's not physics. It's people that forbid our future. It's people that oppress our people. You go and vote. One of you votes for the red team and one of you votes for the blue team. And nothing ever gets done. She said she'd been in there for 30 years and nothing got done. If you truly, honestly believe that our planet is in jeopardy from climate change, global warming, terrorists behind every single bush, or the boogeyman for that matter, then the best people to gather up are your neighbors and your friends and your communities and start taking these ideas and seeing how far you can go with them. Billions and billions, if not trillions of dollars have been wasted at war and craziness. They will take all kinds of money and do all kinds of studies, everything that you can possibly imagine. We know about clean, renewable energy. We know about natural health foods. We know about natural medicines. We know about all kinds of things. Yet we don't use any of it. On a small fraction of the majority of all the people of the world. The government's only a tiny, 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 tiny bit. The corporations is only a tiny, tiny, tiny bit. We the people are the masses. We the people are the true power. And until we decide to exercise that power, you're going to have the Food and Drug Administration telling you you can't say that this is a cure. You're going to have the Environmental Protection Agency, which is totally contrary to protecting the environment and have proven by their track record to have done great atrocities to this world. The military-industrial complex has mopped one place after another after another after another to destabilize nations into the Stone Age. All under the guise of protecting the petrol dollar and all the other craziness that's involved. The international bankers who put your children in harm's way, they don't care about no Green New Deal. They don't care about your little picket sign, wooden stick and paper that says, save the trees. Your ridiculousness keeps them in office and keeps them in power and keeps them financially well above you. You are your own oppressor. That's why mad science is so important. Mad science is mad because the mainstream science, who could have come out and told the truth years ago, who could have taken all these suppressed technologies off the shelf and tried it before they denied it and tested it and repeated it and put it out there for the public open source to get things done, we could have together already succeeded. We could quite literally right now be living in the ultimate utopia. This technology that you've got. Reach down in your pocket. If you got a thumb drive that holds 64 gigs of information, you tell me where that information's going. How do you get that kind of information on something so tiny? How do you send your voice out over a network like the one we're on right now, so that other people can hear it on multiple different types of devices that can do everything from track where you're at to tell you where you need to go or to sell you something? Now, if you're one of the ones that like to distract O'Shaziz, if you're one of the ones that likes to troll O'Shaziz, if you're the one of the ones who says stop searching because physics forbids it, then you, my friend, you are the problem. You're the reason why mad science exists. To tell children that in 12 years our world is doomed is ridiculousness. And to have almost a grown adult next to him spewing out propaganda, oh, he gets to get the Democrats elected. Well, they've done a real good job. We got to get the Republicans elected. Well, yeah, they've done a real good job too. Why don't you just hand over everything, all your power and all your rights to every doggone government of the world, and just know your place and shut your face, sit down and listen? No. What you should be doing is going out there finding people like myself and others who want to make a better world for these children. Who want to put technology, who want to spark the ideas and creativity in their minds. Who want to tell them that there's hope in the future. That's what I'm saying.
Haven't been particularly energized the last couple of years. We need something to fight for. Your constituents are asking you for this, and I really believe, and tens of thousands, millions of people around the country are asking for this online. They're calling you. Your phone lines are blocked up.
Look, I understand all of this, and I'm trying to do the best I can. which was to write a responsible resolution.
Any plan that doesn't take full transformative action is not going to be what we need.
Well, you know better than I do. So I think one day you should run for the Senate.
Great.
And then you do it your way.
But by that time,
in the meantime,
by that time, there's going to be a big problem.
I just won a big election.
Yeah, that was the point of coming up to present your letter.
Okay, well, I'd like to see the letter.
The senator has a meeting waiting outside.
Lots of people signed this, including our school.
And kids are signing this.
This will be the greatest cost.
We're copying.
And we'll bring it down.
The only way, because we will give you a resolution that's thoughtfully worked out, that has a chance of passing, and which does what you want.
Can they read the
speech? Yeah, I can read it.
Before they read it,
I do read.
Just taking a stand and not voting present, not saying present when you are asked what you believe on the future of the most catastrophic event that's facing our species. You have a chance to say yes, knowing that.
And that's another doggone thing. Why do they keep calling us a species? How many of you out there are animals? How many of you out there are monkeys? Alright? I ain't no species. I'm a human. Alright? And I just appall being called a species. Drives me insane. But nonetheless, this is the kind of craziness that they teach in your schools. This is what, when you're out there working hard for a living, and then you come home and you ask your kid how they're doing in school, and you look at the grade card, seems to be all right, you know. If Pete and Repeat were in a boat and Pete fell out, who'd be left? And you could go with that for eternity. That's what they teach your kids in school. Read it, remember it, and repeat it. That's it. Read it, remember it, and repeat it. That's all your kids get in school. They're not out there learning how to think critically for themselves. They're not out there learning how to be inventive, creative. They're not. They're being indoctrinated. And people think that this is above and beyond hope. Tomash says the world's not doomed. People may be, but it would still take a long, long, long time. Maybe so. But here's the thing. You're standing on whatever it is. It is a self-contained biosphere of epic proportions. It's a thermoelectric generator. It is so much. There, the Earth is 3/4 covered in water, is what we're told. There is land that people haven't ever stood on. There is more resources than we could ever use in a trillion lifetimes. And you will get people to say, oh, well, we're overpopulated. Oh, well, we're gonna destroy our planet. This Earth, this planet, whatever you want to call it, would shake us off like a bad set of fleas if we got too far out of hand. We're not there yet. We got governments that like to spray crud in the air for whatever purpose that they like to spray crud in the air, and you're called a tinfoil hat wearing nutcase for even mentioning it, regardless of the facts. Doesn't matter what you see with your own two eyes. It doesn't matter what you've studied throughout your entire life. If you say that you saw them spraying crud in the air, then you're a nutcase. And you know who lets that happen? We the people. We the people let it happen. And when people are spending their time instead of actually being proactive and actually after getting out there cleaning up their local creeks, when they're not out there being proactive with their local communities, then you got knuckleheads like this Diane Feinstein that are in business to stay in business. Plain and simple. So, there's a video out there called 500 Years After Man. I say go watch it. It's pretty interesting. Because 500 years after man, nature's already took over and you can't hardly tell that man was ever even around. Because nature done absorbed everything back into the system. See, there ain't one chemical that we've ever put on this earth that wasn't here before we got here. And so with that said, everything that is used, nature recycles everything. There's nothing that gets wasted in nature. And I want to talk about that some more later here, but I got to finish this up.
I may. I don't know. I may vote present.
It is much, much, much different than saying present.
Oh, I understand all that.
And that is what they're asking. So if they can just have a voice to read that out to you, and then sit with that opportunity, knowing
look,
that they
I have a group of people that's come from a long place away to come in.
They have decades of life that they hope to still have, and you're leadership.
That doesn't work with me. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. Will you want to present that?
Yeah. Thank you.
All right.
Read it out.
Dear Senator Feinstein.
Come on. We can read it.
We can read it, believe it or not.
Please do not. Yeah.
No, we're going to read it.
Senator Feinstein, I appreciate you meeting as a mother of this young child. I can say that I really hope that you follow the lead of these young people, and I think it's the best chance at really giving them a life.
Thank you.
And
thank you, everybody. Okay. We'll get copies. We're making copies right now. We'll bring them down. There's a lot of copies to make.
Well, you know, people have made an appointment. This is a group that's
we're not ready to
meet.
Get into anything.
Yeah. There we go.
Pardon me?
Oh, no, I'm just telling you.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
That's how we
deliver
it.
Thank
you.
These are the kids that are going to suffer. What a mess. What a complete and utter waste of time. See, those folks drug those children all the way up there to lobby Congress. To go talk to Dianne Feinstein to try to get something done. All right, because they believe, that's the whole doggone thing, they believe we're doomed. Right? Who told them all that? I tell you what, those same senators and congressmen, one crazy lady out there, Ocasio-Cortez or whatever the heck her name is, New Green Deal kind of craziness, they sound just as uneducated as they really are. It's ridiculous. It is beyond. So I'm gonna play another one here, but this is why we're in the jam that we are, because people, I swear, I just don't understand. You got every bit of necessary resources to do everything possible that you keep complaining about, and yet we'd rather run around and protest, and we'd run around and complain and blame our governments for something that we have the power to fix. Only we have the power to fix it. Look, if there's 9 billion people on this planet, and only a small majority of them are governors and senators and congressmen and basically the system that keeps you oppressed, if each and every one of you had $1... and each and every one of you decided to put that $1 to use into research and actually getting things done, you'd be surprised at how fast you'd get things accomplished. If you're worried about the planet, then it's time to put up or shut up. That's the whole thing. Put up or shut up. Get up off the couch, put down your protest sign, and get to work. Clean up your backyard. It's that simple. And you wonder why I call it mad science. It's not just because the mad science, or because the mainstream science guys have dropped the ball and sold their soul to the devil, so to speak. It's because the average Joe has bought into the lie. And that's exactly what it is. It's a lie.
Republicans have described Ocasio-Cortez as the leader of her party, as the boss of the Democratic Party. And there's a reason that they're saying that. Because she is. And she said so herself in an interview on Friday. Watch this.
Oh, it's unrealistic. Oh, it's vague. Oh, it doesn't address this little minute thing. And I'm like, you try. You do it.
Right.
Because you're not. So until you do it, I'm the boss.
That's
how
right.
How about
that? She's the boss. So how did this happen? Well, for the last 2 years, Democrats have been very distracted. They have spent all of their time hating Donald Trump, and none of their time thinking about what they would do if they ever took charge, as he just did of the Congress last November. So they arrive in Washington in January, and they have no idea what to do. Lucky for them, someone had a plan. She was a 29-year-old bartender from the Bronx, and she showed up with a brand new Democratic platform already written. She imposed it on her party. It's called the Green New Deal. And in less than 2 months, she has basically convinced the entire leadership of the Democratic Party to buy into this plan, to ratify it. It's a perfect plan. It would shut down the entire American economy except for the hedge funds that fund Democratic campaigns. Absolutely perfect. There's only one downside. The plan, if enacted, would cost, some estimate, more than the entire global GDP. Not the GDP of the United States, but the GDP of the world. It's pretty expensive. But it doesn't bother Ocasio-Cortez at all. She doesn't care. Listen to her describe her reaction to the bean counter's description of this is too expensive. Here's what she says in response.
Our planet is going to be a disaster if we don't turn the ship around. And so it's basically like there's scientific consensus that the lives of children are going to be very difficult. And it does lead, I think, young people to have a legitimate question. You know, should... is it okay to still have children?
Is it okay to still have children? Well, I don't know, Alexandria. Can we? You're the boss now. If you say we can't reproduce the species, of course we won't. It's your call. My gosh. It's a measure of how cowardly and passive everyone's become all of a sudden that a chorus of right-thinking Democrats hasn't told this idiotic windbag to be quiet and take a seat. Don't talk until you learn something. But of course, nobody's done that. They're all too afraid of her. What you're watching isn't politics. It's a children's crusade, an army of tiny combatants marching off in oversized clothes into an unknown, puffed up with ignorant self-righteousness. Last week, as if on cue, activists showed up with a group of kids to harass California Senator Dianne Feinstein for the crime of not endorsing the Green New Deal. Watch.
Some scientists have said that we have 12 years to turn this around.
Well, it's not going to get turned around in 10 years. What we can do...
Senator, if this doesn't get turned around in 10 years, you're looking at the faces of the people who are going to be living with you.
The government is supposed to be putting people and buying the people in.
You know what's interesting about this group is I've been doing this for 30 years. I know what I'm doing. You come in here and you say it has to be my way or the highway. I don't respond to that.
Any plan that doesn't take bold, transformative action is not going to be what we need.
Well, you know better than I do. So I think one day you should run for the Senate.
Mm-hmm. You almost feel a little bad for Dianne Feinstein. This is not the politics that she joined. When Dianne Feinstein became a U.S. Senator 27 years ago, the Democratic Party was still sort of tethered to reality. They cared what the middle class, or said they did. They wanted a secure border. Dianne Feinstein made that case herself. They said they wanted abortion to be legal, but at least they said they also wanted it to be rare. They never told you not to have children. Dianne Feinstein is 85 now. She is not the future of the Democratic Party. Comrade Ocasio-Cortez is the future. She may be arrogant and dumb, but at one point she's absolutely right. She is the boss. Josh Holmes is a former chief of staff and campaign manager for Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. He was recently accused by Ocasio-Cortez of running a, quote, multi-million-dollar operation to have bot accounts manipulate online discourse. There's no evidence for that claim, and Ocasio-Cortez later deleted the tweet. Josh Holmes joins us tonight. Josh, thanks very much for coming on.
Yeah, thank you, Zachary.
Where did first to the specifics of your experience with Ocasio-Cortez, where did the idea that you ran a multi-million dollar bot farm come from?
Look, your guess is as good as mine. I actually have absolutely no idea. I would love to know the fever swamps that this conspiracy came from, but I'm afraid I'll probably never know. But I think it actually touches upon what your lead-in is, in that she is so uncomfortable with the idea that there are people who disagree with her, so uncomfortable with the idea that there are conservatives walking the planet, that the idea that there's any traffic online, anybody who could disagree with something as sacred as the Green New Deal, certainly must be bought and paid for and totally corrupt by some Republican out there like me.
This is kind of what Democrats deserve, though, after spending 2 years not mentioning what they might be for, an affirmative case for their views, a program for America, instead focusing on Trump. I mean, she just filled a void. Yeah, that's entirely right, and I'm glad that you're covering it. It is really easy to look at somebody who's milling about their kitchen, espousing the absolutely crazy views that she espouses on a nightly, night-to-night basis. I mean, I don't know what's going on, but what she's coming up with is crazy. But it's not that crazy in the context of the Democratic Party, because as you saw, she rolls out the Green New Deal. The next thing you know, we've got 2020 candidates on the record that are all of a sudden coming out in favor of banning cows. I mean, this kind of lunacy is now becoming mainstream in Democratic politics, and if we don't take it seriously, I'll be darned if we're not going to wake up and half this country is going to be endorsing those kind of things. We've got to fight for it.
Well, I think that's exactly right. It's foolish to sit back and just laugh and, oh, how stupid this is. I mean, I think if she were 35, I think she could be president. But I'm just struck by how easy it was for her to take over the Democratic Party. I mean, there's basically been no resistance. Nobody has been brave enough. Even Senator Feinstein is 85. What does she care? No one has stood up and said, you know what? You don't know anything. You're arrogant and dumb. Please be quiet. Why will no one say that?
Yeah, well, I think you got a combination of problems. I think the first problem is that you've seen the leadership of the Democratic Party largely confined to septuagenarians who have been so out of touch with the American people for so long that the base of the Democratic Party is looking for something new. She's seen that, right, and she's seized upon that to try to drive this wedge that, you know, started developing in the Sanders campaign, honestly, against almost a generational battle within her party. The difference is what she's come up with and the views that she's espousing here are incredibly dangerous. I mean, a restructuring of the economy, the likes of which we've never seen before, tearing down every building in America and replacing them with some new green dream, a $93 trillion deal. Well, I mean, here's the problem is that they're all saying they're going to vote for it. Right? I'm glad Mitch McConnell is actually going to put this sucker on the Senate floor, so at very least we can see the 2020 Democrats who are running for president come down and be counted, because you know darn well when they get to Ohio in a general election, they're not going to want any part of this deal.
No, I mean, it's a pure Democratic takeover of the U.S. economy. It's just so interesting. I mean, you worked in the Senate. There must be Democratic senators who think that this is unwise and dangerous to their party. Why aren't they saying anything?
Absolutely. Well, you saw with Dianne Feinstein why they're not, right? I mean, here's a senator who dared question the idea that we don't ruin the Democratic or the entire American economy, and she's shouted down by a bunch of children. And by the way, there were calls all over California for her to resign for that. I mean, this is the modern-day Democratic Party. I saw it personally with AOC attacking me. You see Democratic senators, if they dare question this wisdom, being shouted down by AOC's 3 million followers online, which, by the way, facts be darned, they're going to absolutely attack no matter what. And it's a really dangerous place for Democrats who have any sort of wherewithal these days.
The bad thing about it is it's not just the Democrats, it's Republicans as well, libertarians, all of them. It doesn't matter. This political system that we're in today, it is the most destructive way to try to run a society in the history of time. You got socialism, Marxism, freaking all the different types of isms, and it's just ridiculous. It's just flat out ridiculous. And to try to get people to understand that this is supposed to be in a government by the people, for the people, and we were the ones that's supposed to hold our leaders accountable. This so-called crisis that we're in right now, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. That's flat out. I mean, we got access to amazing technology right now, and you got people out there who's got 3 million followers, is what they said. 3 million people that believe in what she's talking about, how we're so doomed and we got to get this Green New Deal going on. And you got mainstream media outlets that continuously propagandize and lie to you all the time, and you still fight to preserve the same exact system that keeps you oppressed. It keeps you from being creative and thinking outside the box. You know, I just don't understand it. Now, look, my mom used to tell me you got to humor those kind of people. Well, I'm tired of humoring them because it's just the same doggone thing. It's over and over. It's just like that person that comes to the party that wants to cry and be dramatic all the time. Or you got somebody that wants to come there and fight all the time. They got to have attention. They want all this craziness going on. Can't just go to the party and have fun. No, it's got to be a drama. Somebody's breaking up with somebody and it's just like craziness. And I even have my own friends that like to sit there and mouth off at me and tell me about I'm up on a soapbox. Well, maybe I am on a soapbox. Maybe I am ranting. But who else? What else? What's anyone doing in order to try to resolve the so-called problems that we have in this world? You know, we put these networks together in hopes that we can inspire others to come together and start working on projects. And to some extent, it does work. At least in my little circle so far, we're getting some things done, you know, but it's not enough if you want to try to make this world better. There's still people going to war. There's still people starving. There's still people dying of thirst. There's still all these crazy things going on. And I keep thinking, what if? What if we could get this whole world to shut up and pay attention for a second? What if we could get this whole world to start using real science again? What if we could get this whole world to start working together on things? You know, that when there's a tragedy in a community, something happens, a fire truck turns over, whatever. You got people that come there and they use everything that they got from their medical skills to their mechanical knowledge, and they'll get that thing turned up back up on its wheels again and tow it off somewhere to either be salvaged or repaired and get everybody to where they need to be and organize everything and get it all sorted out. Otherwise, they just lay there in a ditch because nobody knew what to do. Nobody paid attention in school. Nobody knew how to save anybody's life, so they just laid there and died. You know? So, don't tell me we can't get things done. We can get things done. The military-industrial complex is proof positive of that. The corporations out there is proof positive of that. They really know how to play you like a banjo because they know how to sell you everything. Everything under the sun except freedom. They don't want to sell you freedom. No, they don't want to tell you that you can run a car on pure distilled water if you know the physics of it. They want to teach people like the one Lego building review that said, stop searching, physics forbids it. Physics doesn't forbid it, people forbid it. People forbid free energy. Yeah, if you know what the heck energy is, if you understand how it's traveling around, and you know what it does, there's a cause and effect to everything. If you do this, it causes something else to happen, and you can get work done. You know, the science of old, the ones back in the 1800s and prior, those were real scientists. They really put things together and they tried it. You know, and then along come the mathematicians that muddied up the water. So now you got to have your mathematician there to explain it to everybody. If it doesn't make sense in the mathematics, then it doesn't make sense at all. Never mind the fact that there are things in this world that we just don't understand yet. You know, when you talk about gravity to the science community, they don't know. They say it's magic. You talk about the Big Bang Theory in the science community, they say all this something came out of nothing from a little teeny tiny spot somewhere in the history of time, and then a big explosion threw all this stuff together. They don't understand it. They can theorize. There's everything based on theory. The laws of physics, everything. And when you get into the quantum realm of physics, now you get into even muddier waters to where every single thing is possible. On one hand, in quantum physics, everything is possible, yet nothing's possible at the same exact time. So how is that real science? We know what we can learn from nature. We know what nature does. You know that if you go out there and put your finger on that thorn, it's going to poke a hole in you, make you bleed, and it's going to hurt. You know that. Trial and error. We figured that out. Of all the years that it took us to get as far as advanced as we are right now, we got so advanced that some people said, well, maybe we just hold some of this back. And if we hold some of this back, we can make more money selling it to people gradually, a little bit at a time. So they gathered up all the brilliant minds and put them into their companies in the research and development departments, and they build and they build and they create, and everything goes into the corporation under the umbrella. They own it, not you. Look at NASA. How much money, $50 million or $50 billion a day they spend? Do you get reimbursed via a share in the company or the patents that come out of NASA? No. No, you don't. And NASA makes extraordinary claims, but never have to really prove it. And so, if a guy like me comes out there and talks about mad science and says that energy is free, suddenly I'm crazy? I have to be crazy. The system says I have to be crazy. Because everything that I'm saying goes contrary to what they're trying to accomplish. And that's to suppress and oppress. If they don't keep you down, if they don't keep you in line, then they don't make no money. You're not going to keep giving them your money if you know that there's a better way. It's that easy. So, with that said, I'm going to play some more of this right here.
Josh, thanks for that. That was smart and interesting.
Thank you, Tucker.
Well, Democratic presidential candidates claim that climate change is an existential threat to all humanity, a matter of life and death for every person on this planet, nothing less than that.
That climate change is real, is an existential threat to our country and the entire planet.
The biggest threat to our prosperity in this 21st century is climate change.
And if we don't have the bravery and the courage and the heart and the determination to take it on as the most important challenge of our lifetime, then we don't care about those children.
Climate change is an existential threat to us as human beings.
The threat is real and it is existential, and we need to take action now.
So they say it a lot. They demand that you repeat it. They require that you believe it. They attack you if you don't. Any evidence of doubt makes you a denier. But do they themselves believe it? That's an interesting question and rarely asked. When he was campaigning for Hillary Clinton in 2016, Bernie...
Before he gets into that, yeah, they believe it. They preach it. They don't do what it is to preach it. They don't practice what they preach. And the whole thing is, it's not climate change. It's not even the terrorists. It's not even the Republicans or the Democrats. The biggest danger that we've got in our lifetime and for the future of humanity is quite literally we the people being complacent, being basically not doing anything to move us forward. It's easy to sit around and complain about Fukushima and doggone the BP oil spill. It's easy to complain about chemtrails. It's easy to propagandize and be propagandized to. It's easy to have your children indoctrinated. It's easy to listen to what the doggone MSNBC and ABC and CNN and all the other propaganda machines that are out there. It's easier to listen to the ridiculousness of senators and congressmen than it is to get out there, roll your sleeves up, and get to work. It's easier to be told what to do as opposed to decide what to do. That's where the problem lies. The problem doesn't lie in the government. The problem doesn't lie in the corporations. The problem lies in the hands of we the people. We've got every single possible solution under the sun. We have every single piece of the puzzle. And when we decide that enough is enough, we will start building the future. Literally. When you decide you want free energy, it's already there. It has already been provided by nature. It is ready to go. Clean, renewable, alternative, green energy, or whatever terminology you want to put on there. And it does not defy any of the known laws of physics. And the laws of physics are not written into stone. But to give the devil his dues and to humor the knuckleheads out there that think the world is doomed, mad science is going to give them exactly what they want. But the question is, will they accept it? Or will they troll and troll and troll and debunk and try to do all this talking intelligent and throwing out high-tech terminology that they themselves don't even understand and discourage the brilliant minds of this world to keep them separated? I tried to build the dream team. It only took one man to destroy the dream team. One man destroyed a team of the most brilliant and talented people that I'd ever seen in my lifetime. One man had enough power to destroy that entire team, that if they could have got that one team together, one team could have done amazing things by now. Could have sped the process up to where there's actual working devices in your hand. But no. Now you got to contend with not only suppression from YouTube itself or different social media platforms, but you got to contend with crazy ideology such as Ocasio-Cortez or whatever her name is out there spewing out a bunch of propaganda to children and the people of the world, talking about a Green New Deal that will never ever come to pass. The greed and the corporate structure and the society that we live in will never allow you freedom, will never allow you peace, will never allow you to be off grid, will never allow you to own property and your own choice. That's what we're up against. And the ones who oppress each other worse than the government could have ever contemplated on, the ones who comply with the military-industrial complex, the ones who support the beast that is the corporations out there that is destroying this world that you're so worried about, is you. You're the one that supports them. If you're not out there sharing information, if you're not out there pointing out the fact and telling these people that are sitting out there lying to the world, put your facts on the table. Who are these so-called scientists? Where is this so-called consensus? Why is it that all these peer-reviewed documents are skeptical because of the way that they came about? Why is it that whenever you read a prescription, it has a list of side effects longer than my leg that basically are worse than the doggone problem to begin with? Why is it that if a company or a government agency such as the Environmental Protection Agency is allowed to continuously create disaster after disaster and still tell you what to do, and the Food and Drug Administration puts things on the doggone table for your children that are terrifying when you look at the chemistry? You go look up aspartame. You go look up saccharin. You go look up Ritalin and Prozac and Luvox and all the other craziness that the doggone medical industry and the Food and Drug Administration have a hand in. You follow the patents and you follow the money back to the actual people themselves, and you'll find out how many corners were cut. Follow the path of your trash to where it ends up. Follow the path of your recycling bin to where it ends up. Follow the money and you'll find the problem. These people are allowed to do and say what they do on TV because you choose to allow them to do and say what they say on TV. And this will never stop as long as you keep supporting MSNBC, ABC, CNN, and all these different propaganda machines that are for the military-industrial complex and the lobbyists of all the corporate greed in the world. The international bankers that would rather send your children off to war because it's profitable? It's going to happen. It's going to continue to happen. And 100 years down the line, after all this come to pass, whatever war happens in between there, this planet will still be here. It'll still be here. We might not, but it'll still be here. We might not have a lot of different animals and a lot of different plants that we have now. But it'll still be here. Nature will work its way right around us as if we never existed. Now, if you want a future for your children, it's easy. Reach out and take it. Reach out and take all this knowledge, every bit of information that's shared with you via alternative energy, alternative medicine, alternative everything, and put it in the faces of the congressmen and the senators and the people out there trying to tell you about the Green New Deal. The ones who want to tell you to get out of your doggone car while they want to fly around in a corporate jet or a limousine. First off, they're running around spewing out idiocy via propaganda and things that they've never even studied, that they don't even understand themselves because they didn't pay attention in basic science. And they sure don't understand physics. If you can't find free energy, you're simply not looking hard enough for it. We got it. We got everything we need. Now we got to figure out how to get the people motivated to accept it and want to use the different types of powers that are available in order to get the work done. If you want to stay cool, there's a way to stay cool. If you want to stay warm, there's a way to stay warm. If you want a clean glass of water to drink, there's a clean glass of water available. Food, everything. There's more resources than we can ever use in a trillion, trillion lifetimes. I don't care who wants to argue that fact. And if you don't want to try to throw physics out after to me, when you step up to the plate, you better quote them right, because you better know what you're talking about if you're going to try to tell mad science that things are not possible. Flat out.
Sanders repeatedly demanded private jet access for himself and his entourage. Over the past 3 years, according to a report in Politico, Sanders has spent almost $350,000 on private flights. How can you justify that if you believe the world is ending because of climate change? Adam Green is co-founder of the Progressive...
$350,000 on flights. $350,000 on flights. Now, not only is that hypocritical to the fact that the whole called carbon tax thing, but could you imagine what a guy like me could do with $350,000? Access to $350,000 means I got a really nice lab. I got 24/7 live camera where you can actually see and learn how to do certain things. And other researchers can come there to that lab and actually get things accomplished. Ways to get around pollution and be able to resolve all the issues that everybody keeps complaining about. $350,000 just to put your butt in a seat, in a corporate jet, and be fed fancy food while you go around telling everybody else in the world that they got to reduce their carbon footprint. And not to mention owning multiple houses, not little houses, big expensive houses, mansions. Al Gore, after telling people that the ocean levels were going to rise, bought a huge 9-bedroom mansion on the seashore. So, what do you think about that? Ridiculous.
Change Campaign Committee, and he joins us today. Adam, thanks very much for coming on.
Hey, good to be here. Thank you.
So it's really simple. If you say you believe that carbon emissions are destroying the planet and making it impossible for people to live here, and people shouldn't have kids because this threat is so imminent and so profound, how could you possibly ever, under any circumstances, fly in a private aircraft?
Yeah, Tucker, I've seen you make enough good arguments to not really think that you think that's a very strong one. I mean, Bernie Sanders is thinking about a word.
Don't belittle the argument. Why don't you explain why it's wrong?
I am. Okay. Just like you wouldn't blame your viewers who aspire to a better job in the future for going to work every day and call them hypocrites now, you can't blame Bernie Sanders for supporting a world 10 years from now with less carbon emissions but taking an airplane now. Those two things are not in contrast with each other.
Taking a private plane. Now, you know the numbers on carbon emissions per passenger, private versus commercial. There's almost nothing you can do short of starting
again,
a tire fire to cause a bigger carbon footprint than to fly private.
Again,
so why in the world, if you believe that, why would you... No, come on. Don't BS me. Don't make excuses for this guy. Hold him to the standards you expect the rest of us to live to. Why are you giving him a pass?
No, it's interesting to say BS, because I've seen you, you know, tear down people for making BS arguments. I know this is not the strongest argument.
What's
against
BS
the
about
deal.
That? I don't understand. No, it's a sincere argument.
Here's what Bernie said today. Let me tell you what Bernie said today.
You guys don't believe a word you say. You want to take over the U.S. economy
over 2 years.
You don't believe it's an imminent crisis.
Tucker, between 2017 and 2018, there was 1 9-day spurt where Bernie Sanders went on a 9-day tour and took a private jet, and for the rest of the 2 years, he went commercial. So this is not a real issue. You don't believe
but
it.
But why would he ever do it at all? If this is a moral issue. Hold on. This is a moral issue. You guys have framed this not as a matter of science. Anyone who doubts is a denier. Is there immoral? So why in the world would you do this? Because it's not a big deal or it is a big deal.
What would be hypocritical if he believed that Democrats were going to pass things that would save the world is for him not to campaign hard in the final 9 months or 9 weeks, 9 days, for Democrats who are going to do stuff. Like, you're basically saying that...
How many houses does he have?
But he has, I don't know, how many does he have? He has one in Burlington. Okay, so what's your point?
My point is that if you believe that carbon emissions are destroying the earth, that's too many houses, that's too much consumption, that's too much carbon, you lead by example. Why is it the people who are trying to control my life and tell me what I can do and can't do, how many kids I can have, don't bother to restrain themselves?
Again...
It's not silly, it's true.
It's silly, it's a fake hypocrisy argument. You're basically saying that, you know, if you believe that Facebook has bad privacy policies, you shouldn't check Facebook every day. If you believe you want a better job, you shouldn't
check
Facebook.
No, I'm saying if you think adultery
is
wrong, don't cheat on your wife.
If you believe in having a better economy with tens of millions of jobs in the future in clean energy, of course he should spend the last few days of a campaign doing everything he can to fight for a Green New Deal.
You should reduce your own emissions. No, it's really simple. You
should walk to work.
Should
he walk from Vermont to D.C.?
Yes, yes.
Should he walk from Vermont to D.C.?
You should live by the standards.
You just said yes, you
should
walk from Vermont to D.C.? That shows the BS argument that you just described. Okay.
You know what you're doing? You are making excuses because all you want is power. You're exactly the kind of person who would
have. I've seen you make better arguments.
What you're doing is exposing
from Vermont.
You're exposing the shallowness of your own argument.
Anybody who takes any plane is idiotic. You just said he should walk from Vermont to D.C. Obviously, you don't believe that.
Okay.
Obviously, you don't believe
that.
Sorry. He's not a hypocrite for doing that. He believes in tens of millions of new jobs in the clean energy economy.
This is idiotic. What you're saying, because look, you
should walk from Vermont to D.C.
or your leaders.
He should walk from Vermont to D.C. I asked if he should walk. You said yes. Come on, not a real argument.
You got me, Adam. You got me. You're a brilliant guy. Thank you so much. Thanks. I appreciate it. We're gonna
see. That's the kind of craziness constantly. On, and on and on. That's the crazy constant on and on that we got to contend with. Right? And so, you know, doing all this research in alternative energy, you'll find out a few things. First off, if you call it free energy, and you get out there on YouTube, Google up free energy on YouTube. Alright? I say Google up YouTube because they're basically one and the same. Get on YouTube and search up free energy. And you're going to find a whole bunch of people out there putting a whole lot of bogus crud down in front of there, and none of which is any good. None of it doesn't have any kind of scientific basis or whatever. But nonetheless, it basically makes guys like myself look bad. If I say free energy, and then you get on there and you look up free energy, and then it tells you all this crazy stuff, and then if you go look at the laws of thermodynamics, it will try to tell you why it's not even possible. That's why the indoctrination has succeeded. You are successfully indoctrinated if you believe that there is no such thing as free energy. Flat out. You bought into the lie. And if you're one of the whole climate change people who want to get out there and fight global warming, and you expect the government to do something about it, you bought into the lie. You know, it's really easy to fool all the people all the time, apparently, because that's what's going on. You've been lied to. You've been lied to. You've been propagandized. You've been stolen from. You've been basically enslaved. And yet you will still come out there and fight to preserve the same exact system that is keeping you down. You know, those kids out there thinking the world's doomed in 12 years, they really believe it. Why would they not? They were told by people they're supposed to be able to trust, their teachers, the adults, And when you listen to some of these people like Ocasio-Cortez or whatever the heck her name is, sit out there and spew a bunch of craziness, not based on any real science, and then they keep on saying, well, the consensus by the science is... No, there ain't no dang consensus. There never was any consensus. It was a bunch of people scamming who aren't even really science. They turned around and said a bunch of lies in order to keep some funding. You know, maybe I'd have run around and start saying I agree with climate change so I can get some free money from the government, right? It's crazy. Reality is this. If you paid attention in science class, if you paid attention in physics, physics don't have to be a brick wall, a hindrance. If you use physics to your advantage, you can take those physics and do some amazing things. When it comes down to engineering a new electronics or equipment and using those laws, so-called laws of physics to your advantage, you get work done. So all the projects that I keep showing you, they don't defy any of the known laws of physics. They don't defy thermodynamics. What it does is shows you a different way in which to maximize efficiency and use energy in a completely different manner than we're accustomed to. There was Edison that did DC current. DC current had its drawbacks. It had some problems. It had some pluses, but it had some problems. Such as the fact too much DC current running through a wire would start a fire and burn your house down. AC current turned out to be a little bit safer. Still, with enough AC current, you can put too much current through a wire and start a fire and burn your house down. There are other methods by which to utilize the energy that we call electricity. And that's what I'm trying to bring to the table. But it's really hard to try to bring things to the table when people refuse to listen to what you have to say. When they start saying, oh, well, you got to have all this current, watts and amps, and you can't do it without this and that, because they're so stuck. Their brain is so stuck in what the school book said. That school book is basically better than the Bible to them. You know, that school book is God. That school book says this, and you can't ever, ever, ever go against that school book. Regardless if anything comes against the laws of physics, if anything in science is questionable, it doesn't matter. If the science says it, then it must be true. And you will believe it blindly at your own demise. Supposedly, we sent a probe all the way to Pluto, so far away that if you look back at the sun from that probe, it looked like a little tiny dot in the sky and would only put out just barely enough power to maybe possibly light up a 2-watt light bulb. Little Christmas bulb. But yet they were able to, with a thermal electric reactor, after being in space for over 9 years, be able to produce over 200 watts, take a picture, that somebody had to light the place up, so they had to have some lighting, take a picture, and then digitally send that back through space, that entire distance, and download it so you could download it on your computer. Same thing with Mars, same thing with the moon, same thing with everything else. If everything that they said was true, it is some amazing technology at our disposal. Now either they lied and their science is false, or they're telling their truth and they're suppressing the outcome. They're suppressing the technology. You can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't have it both ways. Either mad science is wrong or real science is wrong. Can't be one or the other. Can't be both. Unless you're talking quantum physics, then anything's possible. If I say there's something possible in science, then there's a reason why I'm saying that it's possible. So, with that said, this is why we're in the shape that we're in. It isn't because we don't have access to technology, because we do. If you're looking at a computer right now, if you're listening in on a phone, there's your proof standing right there in your hand. ask yourself a few tough questions. How is it that this phone is so incredibly efficient that you can run around all day long on this thing, and depending on how hard you work it, this battery will stay charged? And then you can sit there and call people. You can sit there and track your location. You can sit there and look for things to buy and actually even buy things from your phone. You can play games. You can watch movies on this phone. Incredible technology in the palm of your hand. Where does all that information go? How is that much information stored in such a tiny little package? If what I'm saying is wrong, if we don't have access to technology that could quite literally put a free energy device on every single house and hut in the entire world, then how is it you got the technology to be able to do almost magical stuff right there in the palm of your hand? You explain that to me. Tell me why it is that I'm wrong. And you find those people out there that with wanting to do the Green New Deal and send them over to talk to old Shaziz from Mad Science. Send them here. Send the congressmen and the senators. The congressmen and the senators, they're not going to care. They got one goal in life, and that's to stay in that seat, keep collecting the money, keep having the glory and the power and the notoriety of being a senator and a congressman while ruling over the masses. You're the peasant. They're the kings and queens. They tell you what to do. And that's the way it works in the real world of today. That's your reality. Now, when you're tired of that, then you'll go out there in your neighborhoods and you'll find the best of the best. You'll find the best welders, the best electricians, the best technicians, and you will talk to them and get them on board, and you guys and gals will start building things. You'll find solutions to waste problems. You'll find ways that you can turn trash into quite literal treasure. I'm going to be doing a deal called Bottle Caps for Mad Science. And what I hope to accomplish by this is to spark off some creativity in individuals that have a lot of skill. I'm going to copy this and I'm going to post this picture and I'm going to find a link and I'm going to post it in the chat room while I explain what it is that I'm talking about. I'm going to start off on a campaign to try to inspire as many people in the world to understand that there is no such thing as waste. If you do what nature does, nature wastes absolutely nothing. Nature doesn't waste anything at all. We can do the same thing. You could quite literally turn your trash into revenue. You can use the system against itself. You could literally use everything that you would have thrown in the trash otherwise as a resource. And that in itself, if that can't inspire the world, that you could take something as simple as a bottle cap and you can turn that bottle cap into other useful products that are then in turn actually marketable. And then if you could turn what otherwise would have been trash into a source of revenue. If I could fund my research with other people's trash. Now wouldn't that be amazing? I didn't even have to ask them for money. I just said, look, if you're going to throw it in the trash anyway, why don't you just throw it in this bucket? And I'll show you what you can do with it. Back in the old days, they used to have this return for deposit thing. and you could gather up these soda bottles and you could take them up there, and at one point it was a nickel, and I think at one point it might even made it up to a dime before they finally stopped doing it. But when you wanted to go around and find these bottle caps, you couldn't find them because all the other kids in the neighborhood done gathered them all up. Or even the adults that were thrifty would store them up and then take them to the store, cash them in, and buy something else. The same thing could be done with plastics, and you wouldn't have all the trash floating around out there in the ocean. There's a website out there, preciousplastics.com. I'll repost the link to that as well, because what they're doing is similar to what it is that I want to try. To try to inspire people to basically recycle, to do what nature does. But not just to clean up the doggone planet. I pushed the wrong doggone link. Alright, let's try this again. Alright, select all. Copy. Alright, let's try this again. Put this link over there. If you're in People for People Radio Network and you want to pass these links on over there, People for People Radio, they're in the super chat room. I appreciate it. But nonetheless, preciousplastics.com, these folks, they have a YouTube channel. The guy's name's Dave. And they have basically made a business out of trash. He not only designs machinery, he's built a plastic recycling workspace and designed machinery that grind up the plastic, melt it down, put it into molds and such. And he doesn't just make tutorials about it. He has a community, and you can actually download the diagrams for free and replicate it yourself. And so all this plastic that's all over the doggone planet, it does still have a use. We can build things. We can make homeless shelters. We can make temporary homeless shelters with alternative energy that keeps the lights on and whatever. It's unlimited possibilities. But if I could take the one bottle cap that was in my hand, and I can use that one bottle cap and the idea behind that one bottle cap to inspire more people to step outside the box and literally look for solutions, and then turn around and enact those solutions to resolve the so-called problems of the world, while at the same time funding my research. The research that I'm doing, it's important. I like working in alternative energy. I like studying how electricity and energy works. And I've got many, 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 many years behind me. So, I'm not necessarily as stupid as I look. If you actually take the time to listen to what it is that I'm trying to share with you, you'll understand that I've already put on the table the answer to the problem that they said that they had to resolve. Clean renewable energy has already been here. It's that people want to try to discourage you by saying, well, it costs too much to do this. It costs too much to do that. There's no such thing as free energy because you got to pay for the device. Sure, you think the people that built the hydroelectric dams didn't have to pay for that device? What about the nuclear power plants? Who paid for that? And then once they were paid for, did your electricity bill go down? No. When you got off of solar, when you got off of the grid and got onto solar, and the doggone governments came around and started fining you for not being connected to the grid, did that tell you anything? Did it pop up a red flag? When you can't put a wind turbine in your yard, otherwise you'll get fined and jailed, did that put up a red flag for you? count the numbers of individuals who are no longer with us. Stan Myers, John Bedini, and his brother. Go all the way down the list of the alternative energy researchers that said they had something and then tried to give it to the world and now are no longer among the living. Is that just conspiracy? Is it just coincidental? If you're not protecting your researchers, if you're not supporting your researchers, and I mean the trustworthy ones, which to this day seem to be harder and harder to come by because there's people out there trying to scam everybody and his brother out of everything under the sun. There's people putting bogus free energy devices on there for clickbait, and then when you click on the doggone deal, not only is it not a free energy device, it's an ad form of biblical proportions. 10-20 ads on one stupid video to show you how to make something that isn't even real. It's ridiculous. And then you got the so-called educated coming out there trying to debunk everything to do with free energy. Oh, there's no such thing as free energy because it defies physics. It defies thermodynamics. There's always losses in the system. There's only losses in the system because you haven't monopolized on that loss and turned it into a plus instead of a negative. If you have a loss in the system, then you need to re-engineer something that there is no loss in the system and get this doggone thing to be as efficient as possible. And that's why I get frustrated. That's why I call it mad science. You're going to scare children into telling them the world is doomed. If you've listened to any of my videos, any of my podcasts, then you can probably tell that there's a lot of frustration in my voice. There's a lot of discouragement in my videos. Because as I'm sitting here, I can't say what I need to say because I'll have to deal with the trolls. I'll have to deal with the so-called educated. I'll have to deal with those folks out there that have been so incredibly indoctrinated that they believe nothing is possible. On one hand, I'm forced to believe that we went on the moon in 1969. Back in the 60s, we went to the moon in this raggedy looking little tweaker shack. And we had amazing technology back then. And yet here today we have a so-called energy crisis. Global warming, climate change, to the extent that they get to spray crud in the air and try to say that you're a nut for noticing it. How many people actually look up in the sky? And then people come in and freak out because of a supposed nuclear disaster in Japan. Chernobyl. And all these different other things. The BP oil spill. When people came forward with solutions, natural solutions, on how to clean up a mess, they were ignored. When people came together with solutions of clean, renewable, alternative energy, they weren't good enough. Solar power wasn't good enough. Wind power wasn't good enough. Hydrogen technology wasn't good enough. Plasma technology wasn't good enough. Thermoelectrics wasn't good enough. Nothing ever satisfied the people. And so here we are on a way to a self-fulfilled prophecy of doom and gloom because our government says so, because the people say so, and because the doggone mainstream media wants to propagandize you to get you to vote for either the red team or the blue team? What about the we the people team? What about the human team? What about all the brilliant individuals who get discouraged and walk away from the table because everyone out there has an ego and they can't work together? Yeah, the worst problem that we've got, the most pressing doom and gloom scenario that is playing out before your very eyes, is actually caused by none other than we the people. We trusted idiots to be our Congress. We trusted idiots to be our Senate. We trusted idiots to be in our parliaments, in our courts, in our executive, legislative, and judicial branches of government. We've trusted idiots with the future of our children. In our education system, we've trusted idiots to teach our children real science and real hope. So yeah, there's where the blame lies. And until we decide that we're tired of it, until we decide that we want to make this world better, we're going to keep on following lockstep, and we're going to keep walking over there to turn that light switch on and paying the man. Simple as that. I'm going to keep on trying to put information on the table as long as I can. I'm going to keep on trying to make new inventions, designs, creativity, and try to share it with the world. But I'm only human, folks. I can only tolerate so much criticism. I can only tolerate so much ridiculous. And the ridiculousness has beyond ludicrous. Folks think, I don't think they think anymore. And they said their energy's not free. Because you got to pay for this, or you got to pay for that. Right there in front of your face, beyond the realm of what your eyes can actually focus in on and see, there's hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen, and all kinds of things going on around you right now. You are literally walking in a soup of energy. All the way around you right now, there are radio waves, all different types of frequency ranges beyond your comprehension in every single direction. There's energy flowing at extreme rates of speed by your face 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. The power of the ocean, the power of the rivers, the power of the volcanoes and the thermal vents and all the different things like sunlight and wind power. And if you understand what nature has been able to accomplish and you want to tap into that type of energy, you can do it in such a harmonious manner that you're not going to be polluting. And that you're not even going to be creating any kind of destruction. You know, for years people have been getting in these boats that they call canoes or ships. And they get on the water and they float downstream knowing that when they get downstream, if they want to get back upstream, they have to work a little bit. Then the other one said, well, why don't I put a wind sail on this thing and let the wind bring me back upstream? It's a good question. I might add two dog in here. Come on, brother, get it up. Well, hello there. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you fine. You hear me all right?
Yep.
Okay, brother, I've been listening to the show, bro. I couldn't help it. So I hope you don't mind me showing up.
Oh, I'm glad you're here.
Okay, alright. You know, this thing about there's no such thing as free energy, alright? Have you not watched the earth in the time we've been here? That's energy in itself.
Yeah, they say this ball has been spinning around for billions of years, Two Dog. And the sun? Just the same. Ah.
Well, if you look at nature and the earth and all of nature in itself, that's science right there.
Yep.
Okay, there's no such thing as free energy, alright? I got a question. Do you have wind? Do you have the wind? Do you have sun? If there's the sun and you have wind, that's two free energies right there.
Yeah, we could say that until we was blue in the face. And there's some people that just won't get it. And they say, well, solar panels aren't efficient. We'll make them more efficient. You know, there's so many different ways to turn a solar power into an incredible, efficient energy gathering system that is ridiculous. And when they talk about, well, we got to do storage. If anybody's been watching any of my Twitch live streams or even YouTube videos for that matter, we've already got the storage thing sorted out. We can store energy for days and days, if not years. You know?
Exactly.
It's just that, how do you get people to stop believing the lies and propaganda that comes from the mainstream science community or the mainstream media or even the governments for that matter? How do you get them to stop believing in the propaganda that they were indoctrinated with at school?
Well, brother, we have been, how do I say it? They actually have said, and I'm saying Washington, not America, but Washington, all right? They actually said if we become like them, we will be better off.
Yep.
Do you think that actually happened?
I don't think they want us even remotely to become like them. They want us to...
Well, you know, okay, here's what I'm saying. They say if you go off-grid and you end up better, you know, with wind power or, you know, sun, with the sun heating your home or whatever, right?
Yep.
And you got to look at, well, let's look at the Plains Indian years ago, right?
Yep.
Can you, when you said they, you know, nothing in nature is, it's all used. Nature uses everything.
Yeah, it recycles everything.
That's what we did. We used every part of the animal that we fed the people with, okay? Nothing was wasted. Now, if you say, well, you can't heat your home without the wires or electricity or whatever, all right? What do you think the Plains Indians used out there to heat their homes with?
Yeah, that's it. And how about the Eskimos that lived in igloos all them years? How did they stay warm?
Exactly. I mean, they used buffalo droppings, yes, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That burnt. You can burn that after a while. So, good God, we've been doing this on the earth forever.
Yeah, and now...
But you can't do it now?
Now that we have access to all this knowledge and technology, it seems like... It's kind of like if you got this racehorse, right, and he spent his entire life locked up. And then one day you decide, what the heck, I'm going to let this horse go. And you open up the gate. You know that horse won't leave that pen?
Well, it's like this. It's like this, my brother, and I'm going to go with you on that horse, but I'm going to go with you in a little different route, okay? Just say, you go out and you capture you a wild wolf, and you put him in a pen. That wolf is always going to constantly try to escape to be free. But the cubs of that wolf that are born in that pen, they're not going to try to leave.
Nope.
Because that's home to them.
It's all they ever knew.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'm right there with you, brother. It frustrates me because I've spent my entire lifetime, Two Dog, my entire lifetime studying science. And when science started lying to people, when science started going askew, when they were telling everybody all these doomsday things, I had to look into it, because that's what I do. You know, I love science. Well,
yeah.
It didn't match. It didn't match what the school book said. And so when I question what the school book said, like I'm supposed to believe everything that NASA says, and whenever I try to ask them what kind of batteries they had back in 1969 that gave them the capabilities to do amazing things, and do you realize that lander that they were on the moon with had basically a paper thin wall that you could even the astronauts were saying you had to be careful because you could actually poke a hole in it with your finger.
Yeah.
Does that make sense scientifically to you?
No.
Well, it doesn't make sense to me either, especially when the space is supposedly a massive vacuum. But nonetheless, given the devil is due, they said they did that. So if they were able to do this, if they were able to go to Mars, if they were able to go to Pluto and Saturn and Jupiter with all these probes, and one of which has been out there for like 30 years, they say they got going again, and they're able to get that information back. If NASA isn't full of a bunch of liars and thieves stealing from people, and that is real technology, why isn't it that we can't resolve this mess that we've got going on? I mean, we got oceans of trash floating around. All right? Why can't we clean that up?
Here's what I'm going to say, brother. Why can't we? Now let me just go here, because I've been seeing it lately, especially through my life, okay? A lot of times the reason we can't is we're arguing with each other and fighting with each other too much over stupid stuff.
Yeah, that's it. Forget the red and blue team. What about the human team? What about humanity? What about taking the best of our most brilliant brothers and sisters and gathering them into what I like to call the dream team in every single community and resolving problems? I mean, we could do it.
If that was true, brother, I wouldn't have 79 flags in my house. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But the problem is, man, and I've seen it lately especially, but, you know, in my whole lifetime, is that, you know, if one nation needs something and we're in another nation and we can help that nation, why don't we?
Yeah, we should. That's it. We're standing on a doggone planet, is what they say, that is three quarters covered in water, and somebody can't get a fresh glass of water to drink. They got to drink out of some scuzzy water or mud hole. Really?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you look at, you know, when the people first come over here, all right?
Yep.
They called this a wilderness. We called it home.
Yep.
Okay. But if they would have done what we have done, okay, you would still be able to drink out of any creek or any river or anything else you wanted.
Yeah. Nowadays, you don't know what's in the water anymore.
No, you can't even drink. You can't, you know, sometimes you got to have a filter.
Yeah, it can be cleaned up, but nonetheless, it's, look, if there's any kind of doom and gloom down the line, we're making a mess, but we can clean it up if we choose to do so. But standing out there with a wooden stick and a paper sign saying save the trees, that's ridiculous. You're not going to get anything protested. You're going to get things done by getting up and doing some actual physical labor, some work, using your mind. If you're too lazy to work, try to use your words to inspire somebody else to help you with that. You see
exactly.
What I mean? You know, and if people, for all those folks out there to say all hope is lost, then you might as well just get on the, look, you got the Democrats over there, you got the Republicans over there, you got the mainstream propaganda media, and you got the government officials, senators, congressmen, parliament, and lawyers and judges and police. Go stand in line with those folks, because they're over there, they're part of the problem. You need to be over there with them. If you believe that there's no way that we can fix this mess, then you need to go stand over there with them and get out of the way of the people like Two Dog and myself, who believe in the dream enough to get out there and put ourselves on the line and say we're actually going to do something about it.
I can say it like this, brother. There was a thing going on in this town, and I was sent by my people to go ask questions to these leaders, okay?
Yeah.
About this certain problem. I ain't going to say what the problem was, all right? They allowed everyone to ask these questions. I mean, everyone in the building got to ask these questions to these political leaders, okay?
Yeah.
And as soon as I stepped up to ask the question, they put a cop on me.
Well, don't surprise me none in the least. Look, I've been sitting out here preaching free energy forever and a day. If you really go back and look at what I've been doing throughout all this time, it takes money to do what I do, all right? And that comes out of my pocket. It takes my own personal time to do what I do. It takes actual dedication. It takes some time to put these devices together and make the videos and share them with people and do radio shows. I'm doing something. I'm actually physically doing something. And when you get entities like YouTube and Twitter and Facebook and Google and all them who suppress all the information that I'm trying to put out there to people, putting you in the bottom of search results, or then you got other knuckleheads out there putting bogus devices out or lying to people or trying to steal people or con them into giving them money or whatever like that. You got somebody like myself out here trying to do something. It has become a huge hindrance to the cause of trying to make this world a better place. You see what I'm saying?
Exactly. Let me go with you, man, because I wanted to let you understand, all right, and let the people listening understand, all right? Now, as they put that officer on me, as I asked the question about the environment, and how it's going to affect the deer, the nature population, and people too. Let me say it like this. What they actually told me was, and they told everybody else in that whole meeting, we don't care what the people want, we're going to do it anyway.
Yeah, that's basically the whole deal. That Dianne Feinstein, when she's talking to the kids, she says, well, I've been doing this for over 30-some-odd years, a quarter of a decade or something like that. Well, if you've been doing it for that long and you still ain't got nothing accomplished, then your track record stinks. And so why are we still, as the people, supposedly electing these people who get nothing done? You know, forget about all the elections. Forget about all the presidents and the senators and the congressmen. The best people in the world to get anything accomplished is us. My grandfather used to say, if you want something done right, you need to get up and do it yourself. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to inspire people to get up alongside of me and let's build things together. Let's try it out. Let's see if it really works or whether it doesn't work. And until we figure out with our own two eyes that we've tried everything and nothing seems to work, then how can we say there ain't no such thing as free energy if we haven't actually tested what it is that we believe is possible?
Let's put it to you this way. You got some people that are saying that if you put the solar panels on your house, and if everybody uses that to heat their home or whatever, that you would actually drain the sun. Can you believe that?
Yeah, I've heard that one. That's a real good hoot there. That drives
but that made me laugh more than anything in the world. I ain't gonna lie to you.
Well,
now,
think
the
about
problem,
this.
The problem, my brother.
Go ahead.
The problem, my brother, is this. When we learn that we can, when we actually learn that you can actually sit down with each other and actually figure something out, that's part of the solution. Now, if I'm going to say it like this, if the lights go out in my home, I can step out, start a circle fire, okay? I'm just going to say this, and you can't cook, I can't cook in my house. I can guarantee you my wife will have a meal on the table just from that one fire.
Yep.
So, do you have wood that you can use? That's part of it. Do you have wind? Do you have sun? I know you have water.
Well, you know, the cycle of life out there, even in the tree community out there, is that trees live, they die, and some fall over, and so there is always cleanup to be done. There's always wood available for burning where you don't have to even chop down a new tree in order to do it. You see what
I mean? Let me say, I agree with you, because here's the thing. When we do hold our feather circles in our council, in my nation, and everybody comes, right?
Yeah.
I never have ever had to cut a tree down because there's wood out here that falls off the tree, or there's a dead one that fell, or, you know.
Yeah.
I've never had to take the tree's life to do it.
Well, that's my point exactly. We could work in perfect harmony and still have the luxuries that we're accustomed to. And sometimes, truthfully, food tastes a lot better when it's cooked over an open campfire anyway. That's why a lot of people like to barbecue, you know?
Well, let's put it this way. I was at a Kiowa gathering in Oklahoma once, and I watched this, okay? They took a metal trash can and an open fire. Okay, and they made stew.
Yeah,
you know, it's the best eating I ever had in my whole life. And they did all that with a metal trash can and a fryer.
Yep. So basically, what you've been saying is that your culture had already proven that we can survive without all these luxuries. And what I'm saying is, even though we don't necessarily need all these luxuries, we don't have to really give up on technology. We can use this technology to our advantage and in perfect harmony with nature. We know what nature does. If we mimic nature and we do it respectfully like that, we can still be able to talk on our computers and drive our cars. We're just going to re-engineer them to be cleaner. It's that simple.
Well, for God's sake, only thing you have to do is look at the Amish now, okay? Yeah. But let me say it like this, and I'm going to say it for the tribes that used to be in Europe, and I'm going to say it here. Our people on the Great Turtle Island, what my ancestors has always told me, is that we've been here for over 130,000 years. So if we've been here for over 130,000 years, do you not think we know what we're doing?
Yeah. You learn a few things over time.
Yes.
So, you know, that's the whole thing right there. But, you know, it's... we're fighting against something that just... there's no common sense to it.
Here's what I can say, bro, and I'm going to do it a little metal-wise, okay? They tell you that, black is really white.
You're loud.
And that the moon is just the sun at night, if you get what I'm saying.
Yep.
And people believe that, so it's gotten to the point that you want to talk free energy. If you have wind and you have sun, you've got free energy. I'm just saying.
You're loud.
Yep. I get it. That's why I call it mad science, brother. I mean, I hear somebody in the background there, too long.
I'm sorry, it's my lady.
Alright.
She just walked in, I'm sorry.
Alright, well, I call it mad science because I'm sitting here, I'm looking at the answers to the problems that they say exist. And yet, you just can't seem to get anybody motivated. But the problem that, you got people out there that complain all the time that are scaring children to believe that our planet is doomed. We're all doomed. 12 years, the planet's going to be dead in 12 years. All right? Well, if that is indeed the case, you would think that would be all the more reason why you'd want to get every single brilliant mind and researchers to come to the table to find solutions to the so-called problems of the world. I'm saying...
Yeah, now, you made me think about that, Bert.
Yeah?
I apologize. I didn't mean to break you up, but when you do that to me, I have to bring it out before I lose it, all right?
Yeah.
Now, if the world is supposed to end in 12 years because of all this, Why is not the world leaders all getting together? If you're supposed to care about your people, get together and try to fix that.
Yeah, that's it. If it's so urgent, that's my whole point. Look, you got Fukushima, you got the BP oil spill, and many other disasters along with that that's happened out throughout generations, and we're still here. But when you want to get things resolved, who do you usually go to get things resolved? Do you go to the government? No, because they don't do nothing. It's the people. It's the people that are the ones that get out there and clean things up. It's the people that take and engineer things. It's we the people that are the ones working in the factories and the doggone corporations and the research and development. And it's the independent researcher such as myself who has to go through an astronomical amount of criticism, hate, and discontent just for trying to put something positive on the table for those who are spending all their time protesting and complaining that we need to save the planet. Now, if you really believe we need to save the planet, come sit down at the table and listen to what it is that we're saying. Am I wrong, Two Dog?
No, come listen. Now, it's like if I sat with any high official, okay? I'm just saying, any high official whatsoever. And this high official is saying this is going to affect my nation, okay?
Yep.
Then I bring everybody to the table. Everybody from my nation will come with me because it's going to affect them. They need to hear it. If
well,
you see what I'm saying.
Yeah, I got some ideas that I want to put on the table. So I'm trying to do this bottle caps for mad science thing where I already had these stickers made. I threw a picture of it in the chat room. And if you want to replicate this and try it, anybody out there listening in, if you want to replicate it and try it and see if you can fund your research with other people's trash just to prove a point that it can be done, I'm going to take what would have otherwise ended up in the trash or landfill or floating around out there in the ocean. I'm going to take that little bottle cap and the idea attached to it and see how far. I'm going to literally see how far I can take it. And so I posted a link over there in the super chat room, and it has a couple important things on there. But it's basically, there's a guy named Dave who does Dave's movies on YouTube, and he has PreciousPlastics.com. He built a miniature refinery recycling plant that you can take old plastic, grind it up, heat it up, melt it down, put it into molds, and build useful products with it, all right, that are actually marketable. And my plan is to teach people how to turn trash into a real solution and actually generate revenue, get the world excited about recycling and mad science while raising funds for my renewable energy research. If I can inspire others with what I have to share and bring them together for a common goal to solve the problem of our world using what would have otherwise been trash, then I believe we together can fix this world and leave a beautiful home for all the future generations to come. I do believe in the dream with all that I am, and that together we can do amazing things and build a better world one positive pebble at a time. That's
well, brother,
that's what it's about.
I agree with you. Now, here's the reason I agree with you, man. You have a dream of what you believe in, too. My vision has come true as well. I'm looking at all of them in my house. What I'm saying is, if you believe in the dream that you've had or the vision that you've had, the first thing is, don't quit the vision.
That's right. And when you gather up the nations together, I'd like to come there and talk with those people that actually care about this world, and I'd like to explain to them, you know, my thoughts on how it is that we can take everything that's available and mimic what nature does and begin to recycle all kinds of resources and make this world better and help the world out. You see what I'm saying?
Only thing I can say, brother, if you really want to, you know, see a little bit of what I'm doing, The only thing they have to do is go to your website and scroll down just a little bit, and you'll see me and the other guy and the two flags standing next to the Tree of Peace, and there it is.
There it is. And see, you're doing something that I feel is very, very important, bringing people together, and I'm trying to bring information to the table that, I mean, the research is unlimited. I mean, Stephen Gibbons, he gets in the chat room and he finds things relevant to every single show and throws links in there, and other people do the same thing. And, you know, minus all the trolls that show up every now and then and give me trouble, create a ruckus, I'm still ticking. All right? I'm still going.
Well, you know, people that give me a ruckus, you know what I think about? I got a vision to do. They ain't got nothing to do with it.
Well, if I can be successful in using this concept, I'm putting together something really amazing that I'll be putting a video together about here pretty soon. One of which is the bottle caps for mad science, because I want to spark off a movement that, if people see what they can actually do with the resources that they otherwise throw in the trash, plastic doesn't just scratch the surface. There's a huge problem with plastic all over the planet, but we can resolve it. But plastic is just one example of many resources that are always wasted. Here in the United States, there are company after company after company that have resources that they throw in the trash that usually ends up in construction landfills or other ways. But imagine a system by which these companies had access to people out there who would haul away that trash for free, because there's things that your company throws away that their company probably could use. There's all different types of materials, and if you knew that every month, that whenever you had this waste product that you got to get rid of, that there's somebody out there that would take it away from you, maybe even potentially buy it from you just so that they could have it.
Exactly.
Think about it. I mean, there's all the different machine shops and garages that work on cars. They got to pay people to take away the used motor oil. That used motor oil is one massive resource that it can also be cleaned up. It can be turned back into a new product. And there's so much that gets wasted, even in the food industry. If you could turn your food, if you was a restaurant owner and you had a special container that you could put your food waste into, that could then in turn be a resource, because you can turn that into all kinds of different types of fertilizers. You see what I'm saying? There is no waste.
Yeah.
Nature wastes nothing. And so why should we? If we got down to the point where if you had some things that you need to get rid of, you call up this phone number and they'll say, is anybody looking for some old pallets? And they'll say, yeah, there's five companies over here that could use some old pallets. Do you mind if they come pick them up? And then you negotiate your price or whatever, or for free.
Yeah.
But there you go. Yeah. You got a recycling deal that actually works. The recycling deal, I played a podcast of the recycling deal, when that trash goes from your recycling bin, it goes to some companies that actually turn it into stuff, but then it pays the people who export it more money than it does the local people who are using that resource to make new products. It pays them more money. And then it ends up in countries where by the time it gets there, some of the trash that they send them, it's not even usable on the other side and becomes an ecological disaster for the people that live in that community. And you got children climbing through trash in order to try to salvage things so that they can earn a living. Why do we have our children of the world in nasty mess? Why do we allow that?
Well, I can't say nothing, brother, because when I was little, I was eating and sleeping out of them.
Well, I get that. I understand that. And you know, I'm sorry you ever had to go through that. These children in this world, they should not have to be digging in nasty garbage.
I've actually helped young people get out of that. Okay? Because I've been there before.
So you know...
What
you know
what
that
I'm saying.
There's a resolution to it, you know?
Yes, yes. Now, what I'm saying is, I'm getting to the point in my life, brother, I'm getting to a point that we're going to have to start helping each other and get away from this political BS.
Yep, that's it. That's it. That's it in a nutshell. Stop supporting the same system that's keeping your brothers and sisters and the children of the world oppressed. Look,
exactly.
When there's third world countries, there shouldn't be such thing as third world countries, but when there's kids that can't even get food, they got to go through all kinds of, you know, craziness and risk their health and safety just to try to, you know, earn a living. It's just shameful. You know, we got such a vast amount of resources available to us here on what we call Earth. If we was to ever use them respectfully, everybody could be provided for. And you don't even have to attach a label like socialism or communism. Just common sense is all you need. Common sense and real science and real physics. You know what I mean, Two Dog?
Well, here's the thing. Common sense. It was told to me one time that to be Indian was common, normal, everyday thinking. And it's true. Now, as far as common sense, there ain't no common sense no more.
Well, apparently there ain't, because you got people arguing with the same people who's trying to help, you know?
But well, see, here's what an elder once told me, man. And an elder once told me that man's technology, okay, man's technology that we have now, man's technology is what's going to kill man. If we're not careful, that can happen.
Yeah. Yeah, we could let it get all out of control. We don't need no doggone artificial intelligence to tell us how to take care of one another. You know, there's going to come a day when that artificial intelligence is going to get pretty doggone smart, and it might decide that we are the problem because we can't get our act together.
Don't you think our intelligence may help ourselves?
Yeah. You know, it's just, but if we're not going to use our talents and our gifts that we've been given by what I believe are been our creator, if we don't use them and we don't start working together, we're never going to get the big picture. If you got people sitting around arguing and fighting and fussing all the time, nobody's getting anything done. If you're one of the protesters out there that supposedly cares about the planet and you're out there with a picket sign instead of a broom and a dustpan to help clean up the mess, then you're just part of the problem. If you're hanging out with the Democrats and the Republicans and the mainstream media and even the government officials begging them to do your job, then you ain't going to get it done. Back whenever your culture was before all the craziness and all technology came around, I bet that you guys did really good at keeping your general area nice, where you could live comfortably and the animals could live in harmony together. I bet it wasn't all this trash and smoke and foul-mouthed heathenism going on.
Even today, my brother, I'm going to say this, even today, If we go meet somewhere in a, say a church has invited us, or we are able to go there or whatever and held a council, say in a building where somebody has let us go talk.
Yeah.
And they're not there, but we are there. When we leave that place, we want it to look better than when we got there.
Yeah. That's the thing.
So we clean up after ourselves. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, people go to natural parks and stuff like that and just throw their trash everywhere and then sit around and try to talk about how environmentally savvy they are. Yeah, right. You know, if you ain't going to take care of the environment, yeah, it's going to look like heck for a while.
But what I've done in my whole lifetime, okay, you can, how do I say it? You can be book educated as far as these scientists and stuff or whatever.
Yep.
But you can be book educated all you want to, but that don't make you smart, man.
No. Nope.
Because, you know, what I'm saying, natural thinking sometimes you ain't got.
That's That's right. You know, sometimes the smartest people that supposedly really well educated will come out there and tell me how stupid I am while I'm showing them something. You know, and I'm asking the question. I'm asking them a question, and they can't answer the question because the school book says it's not possible.
Well, see, I told the school that they were lying over history once, and they threw me out of school in the 8th grade education, okay? I have an 8th grade education. I have sat with PhDs, man.
Well,
you see what I'm saying?
They
don't know what I'm talking about.
They have lied about history. They've lied about science. They've lied about every single subject that your kids are taught in school. If you listen to that podcast earlier, you heard them kids. They really seriously believe in 12 years the world's going to be gone because of so-called climate change. And it's not just kids saying it. It's adults. It's teachers. Teachers believe it because the guy in the white lab coat said so. Now, why is it that you can trust authority on some things, but you can't trust authority on other things? If NASA
you can't trust authority on anything.
Well, I agree. I agree. Because, you know, it's a one-sided view. You know your place and shut your face and do as you're told. Do not question the book. Otherwise, you're a trouble. You know, I'm not having it. That's why I call it mad science. I'm not having it. You're not going to sit here and lie and steal from the people and have somebody who spent an entire lifetime of studying how things work and then turn around and try to tell me that something that is a flat-out lie is truth. I'm not going to buy it.
Well, brother, why do you think I'm so dangerous in this state, man?
Because you're against the norm, man. You don't you don't conform to what they say you have to conform to.
I've never.
And I think that's why we get along so well.
We get along because in actuality, man, what you're black, white, yellow, red, it don't matter to me. You're my brother or my sister.
Yep, I agree.
Color has nothing to do with nothing.
Yeah, and that's just it. They throw all these divisive terms out there in order to keep us fighting amongst each other. They got the red and blue team to keep us fighting amongst each other. They lie and propagandize us. Tell us that the world's coming to an end if we don't do something about it. They got all the kids that didn't pay attention, or if they did pay attention in science class, it wasn't real science that they were listening to. There is no consensus among the scientists that say that this stuff is going on. There is no consensus among the real scientists. All there is peer-reviewed papers, that most of which have been skewed in order to be able to ensure that somebody keeps some money flowing into their research or their projects. It's as simple
exactly.
as that. Follow the money and you'll find the crook.
Money has become a god.
Yeah.
Well, that's what it is. Money is a god to a lot of people.
Money's killing humanity. And unfortunately, in this doggone society, we need money to survive, which is kind of an oxymoron, so to speak, because on one hand, you need it to buy supplies in order to do research, and on the other hand, it's the other people are just flat out wasting and lying and stealing from people. That one congressman that they was talking about on there, Bernie Sanders, going to run for president, they said he spent like $350,000 to ride a corporate jet to go around and tell everybody about climate change. Well, do you realize what I could do, too, dog, if I had access to $350,000 and could build devices using science that I know about? Seriously.
Well, why don't we just take care of the people the way you're supposed to if you're a leader?
Yeah, that's it. And if the world is in as much jeopardy as we're being told by everybody and his brother, including we the people, if we have that many problems, then why aren't we gathering en masse and getting work done to resolve the problems as they stand? When there's a...
Well, see, there's the deal, man. Okay? Let me say it like this, man. There's been a lot of crazy crap being said, but
yeah.
I'm going to say it like this, brother, real quick. You have kids? You have children?
Yeah, I got kids. I got grandkids.
Okay. I got kids, too. All right? Do you love your kids when you come home?
I love my kids no matter where I'm at, no matter where they're at.
I love mine. Do you talk with your late? Do you talk with your lady when you come home and love her?
Yep, I do too. Even my friends, brother, nobody gets in or out of my house without a hug, because I want them to know whenever I greet them that I love them. I want them to know when they leave that they're all right when they get home. I want them, every impression that I put on somebody to be a good, positive one.
Now, here's my point. Being of different spiritual backgrounds, or say different color of people or whatever, you see the similarities between you and me?
Yep.
Same thing when we come home. So basically, black, white, yellow, red in humanity, as far as the human being, okay?
Yep.
We're not different at all.
No, we're not. And we have everything necessary. All we need is the people. That's it. You know, I got this picture that's on the Mad Science podcast page, and it basically has a bunch of pieces of the puzzle sitting on the floor, and there's a whole bunch of people, all except for one, standing outside this circle there. And it says on there, you are the missing piece of the puzzle. And that's what I keep trying to emphasize to everyone listening in these radio shows. You are the missing piece of the puzzle. The only reason why this show even exists is because somebody's listening. All right? And until we start spreading these messages around, until it lands in the ear of somebody that is important enough or financially able to, you know, support all these different causes out there in a constructive manner and actually get things done, then we're just talking. You see what I'm saying? All my YouTube videos and all the radio shows are just talk. If nobody gets the message, if you send it out and send it out and send it out constantly, and nobody, they're hearing it, but they're not listening. You know, nature has already showed us that energy's free. All we got to do is learn from school. You know, I used to one time thought, because that you weren't a scientist, that you couldn't compete in the scientific world. Well, I told you, look, you're a natural scientist. You've already witnessed and observed and learned and tested and repeated, and you can teach people a vast amount of things about nature that they otherwise might have missed because you paid attention in school. So you're just as good of scientists as I am. You see what I'm saying?
Well, a lot of this stuff that I learned didn't come from school, brother. It came from traditional value of a grandfather, thank goodness. But, you know, it's still science in a lot of ways. The Earth Mother is science by herself.
Yep, and if you pass that on to the future generations, they'll benefit because they'll know how to do things when times get hard. That's the whole deal.
People don't understand, or some people don't even think that a tree is breathing for you, man, and you're breathing for that tree.
Yeah, that's it. You know, and so we should take care of the trees, because we feed them, they feed us.
Exactly.
And so, now that we know that, you know, we already have to battle. And all we got to do is get the people motivated to want. To seriously want to fix this world. No, stop talking about it. Stop trying to rip each other off with carbon taxes and ridiculousness and doom and gloom scenarios. Start putting some peace, hope, and love out there and some common sense. The Mad Science Show exists because of people like you've seen on the mainstream news and media and in the medical industry, science community. We got the answers if we choose to use them.
Now, I don't mean no disrespect, okay? I mean absolutely no disrespect. But what I'm looking is, I'm looking back over 200-300 years here.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, I don't mean no harm, but America says it's a nation of laws, not people. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The thing of it is, you got to be for the people. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but see, I want us two dogs to have more of a tribe mentality. The tribe took care of each other. They didn't put the elders into the old folks' home.
Exactly.
They fed them. They took care of them. I want.
You remember ever having me on the air with you, brother, when I tell people to tribe up in their own community?
Yep, and I agree. That was one of the best quotes that I love that ever came from you. Is that I want our people to be just like that. And so, you know, with that said, we're getting down to the wire down there.
What's that?
You got any last words of wisdom that you want to share with everybody?
Well, one thing I can say, man, you want to tribe up in your own community, brother, make a community garden. Start talking with your neighbor. Become a tribe in your own neighborhood. You know, take care of each other the way you're supposed to. We're the human being. Black, white, yellow, red. Color means nothing. We're the human being. And when someone's down, pick them up. And if they don't know how to do something, and you do, share it.
Yep. That's it. Well, folks, you've been listening to the Mad Science Show. I hope that you take the time to share this podcast and rebroadcast it or whatever. Take what you like and leave whatever you don't behind or whatever. Get people to come here and say hi, and especially if they're out there hollering about saving the environment, because we got the answers. We're just waiting around for the rest of people to want to do something with it. So with that said, I'm going to play us up out of here with a song called Molly Hatchet Flirting with Disaster, because I kind of feel like that's what humanity is really good at. Am I wrong, too, dog?
Well, here's the thing. There's a thing called, I think there's one, another song, but you can't play it. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I get it.
But it's going with the same line, man.
Yep. All right, well, we got to go. Thanks again, Two Dog. Peace and love, everybody listening in. Share this message with people. You know, keep an eye out. I got some cool things I want to share with everybody. Take care.
frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
I got a laptop. I make music with my friends. I've got a laptop, baby. I make music with my friends. There it is.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch.